Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here tonight live. Welcome everyone to PGN. It is Thursday night and we're here live for you. And we want to pray for you and minister you tonight. So be ready for some of that. All right, welcome. We are in the place tonight. This is the prophetic place for sure. All right, get everything lined out while we can talk. That'll be good. All right, everybody, we are here and glad to be with you. Hopefully all is well with you tonight. And we're here right on to minister to you and pray for you and whatever you need tonight. We want to make sure that you get whatever you need from the Lord, whatever you're believing. If you'll reach out to him and you'll believe God with him, with us, we'll believe God with you. We're going to speak to you, give you something that you need, and to make inroads into your life and share things with you that perhaps will open you up to a part of him that maybe you've never known before. You never know. You just never know. But we're here to give God a chance to do it. I'm here 4 nights a week. We have people here all during the week. So we're thankful for that. And this is a place to be if you love the prophetic realm. We are in the place. This is it. Yeah. So, all right. All right. Welcome, everyone. And really, really good. I am on right over here. It's healthy dark. All right, there you go, and maybe that's a little better, I don't know. All right, good to be here. Praise God. You never know what's going to happen when you get them live, right? It's always just different every time. And let's see if I have something here for that. Just one prophetic communion, there we go. All right, it is prophetic communion. I'm already in a blue book. Communion tonight, prophetic communion. We're going to be doing that tonight. Prophetic communion tonight, yes, for sure. And so if you need some of that, that's what we're here for. We're here to get you some. And that prophetic communion, and I think it's a very special communion, a very special thing that goes on. And we are here to present the prophetic realm to you. Some of you don't know what we're talking about. So you have to, like, give it a chance and call in, get ministered to, get the particular anointing that we have going on here, the prophetic anointing of the Holy Spirit, and catch the very personal part of God. I really believe that the prophetic realm we're about to see unfold more and more all the time. It's already been unfolding, no doubt. I mean, it's been going on for years. But the thing that we focus on so much here at PGN and the prophetic realm is that to make it personal, where people know that it's personal, that it's God speaking to you personally, you know, through the gifts of the Spirit. And it's not an audible voice, but, you know, it's something God gave, the gifts of the Spirit, and it's very personal. As you know, most of you know who get on the show with us, you know that we have not only myself, but others who will personally talk to you and personally pray for you. We have a night, Wednesday nights where I think I prayed over like 38 people last night, 38, 35, 37, somewhere in there. And, you know, just in a couple of hours time and go from prayer. And it's always, you know, very unique what God does. It's not like what most people think prophetic is. It's like an inspired prayer with sometimes some very personal information wrapped up in it, but you know that it's got your fingerprint on it. And so it's very, very cool. And so we are, that's what we do. That's what we represent here. It goes on every week, four nights a week. We have, but some people might call it revival in a sense because we're here, you know, up here, I'm here personally four nights a week. And then like I said, we're here seven nights a week. And we're here, you know, or not seven right now, six, I think, but not counting Saturdays. But, you know, it's all good. And we have Nicole from D.C. She's going to be taking a Sunday morning service on Sunday morning. Or Sunday at noon, I think like somewhere around noon, depending on what time you're in, time zone you're in, but I think Texas time, it's around noon. And she's going to be teaching, talking the book of Revelation. Yeah, I mean, you know, some of you want to do something, all you got to do is contact me, let me know. Step out of your boat, man. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Step out of that boat of yours where it's all comfortable and nice and sweet and you and your mama, you and your family, me, you and your husband, you and your wife, whatever. I don't know. You and somebody in your little boat and you're safe and you, you know, go to church and you do whatever. Step out of that boat. Start stepping into the supernatural realm and do one show a month. Do a show, one show a month. You don't have to do a show every week. You can. You can do a show every night if you want to. But, you know, I think God wants you to, I think God wants his people to get a hold of things and, okay. Yeah, and so thank you for that. Mike City Assistant Moselle. All right, we love you too. And God is really good. And so, you know, the personal thing, we make it very, it's very personal. You don't go to church and, you know, you can go to church, go down to the altar every night, maybe and get some personal prayer. I don't know whether they do that at your church or not. You can probably always go grab somebody, you know, at your church or something. It's really cool. But we do it every night. We do it every night. And on Wednesday night, that's all we do. We don't even have, we have I bring forth a prophetic message for about 30 minutes to an hour sometimes. I really get carried away. Really fun. And then we take callers until that starts at 9, about 10 o'clock, start taking callers. And from 10 to 1 o'clock, I mean, if they're on there, I keep going until there's no more callers. And we do that on Wednesday, every Wednesday. So if you have a friend that needs a word, they don't even have to tell us their real name. I don't care. You can have your dog call if you want to. If you can get your dog to call, get him to call or her to call, we will be right here. You're a kitty cat. We don't care. If it's alive, we'll pray and we'll minister to it. That's for sure. So because God loves his creation, he wants to, the reason Jesus died on the cross was so that he could come down and touch his creation, so that he could come down and minister to his people. And show them, hey, I love you. I'm for you. I want to talk to you. And that's one of the things that I've talked about many times here on the show, that God asked them. He didn't command me. He didn't tell me. If I didn't do it, he wouldn't bless me. You don't do this thing, Randy, I'm not going to bless you. It was like a friend. And he says to me, he said, you know, you think you could let me just speak to my people, Randy? That's what I want. I want to be able to speak to my people through the gifts I've given, through the Holy Spirit I've given. I want to communicate with my people. I want to talk to them. I want to tell them how much I love them. I want to tell them, you know, they got breakthroughs coming in on the way. I want to tell them whatever I want to tell them. Just let me tell them what I want to tell them. Right? And, friend, that's it. I mean, there ain't nothing any better that I know of, you know, as far as in the Christian realm. It's awesome, and it's free. You don't have to – we have – people can give if they want to. People give a lot. People give their tithe and their offerings every week, maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, three times a month, whatever they get, whatever it is, it's awesome. But you know what? There's never a charge for anything. There's not even a hint. There's no hints, no nothing. We don't send you text secretly and privately saying, can you please help us? We just don't do that, man. We don't do it. We think the gospel needs to be free. We think everything needs to be free and let people free to give back. That's our message. Not merchandising, but giving freely. I went and watched a movie. I watched it about two or three times, actually. And it's called The Jesus Music. I don't know if you guys have seen it. They got Michael W. Smith, you know, is in there a lot. Amy Grant's in there a lot. All the musicians, all the world-known worship leaders are in it. Did anybody see that movie yet? I've seen it three times now. Because you're going to be surprised what they talk about in there. I was a little shocked to hear talk about some of the things they talked about And they made this movie. They've never made a movie like this before. It's a Christian movie. It's awesome. It's about the Jesus music. It's about the music we have now. It's about the music we had back in the 70s and before that, and how Christian music changed and moved into one realm. You really got to go see it if it's at your local theater. It's really, really awesome. And they do use Jesus' name a lot. So if you're not used to that, you might not want to. You might want to, you know, take your ear. Yeah, that's kind of a joke. You know, when some guys say, "Oh Jesus," and they don't mean it like Holy Jesus, kind of like unholy Jesus. Well, they don't do it like that. I'm just playing with you, but they do use the word Jesus a lot. So get ready for that if you're not used to that. All right. So there you go. So get ready, Greece. And go see it. And I was surprised that they talked about how that the money that it went to a time, and I think it's still going through a time, where people were in it for the fame and the money, and yet it was very positive. They didn't shame anybody. They just you just got to go see it. It very much lines up with some of the message that God has given me, except it's talking about it with the music realm. How that, you know, I think, who came to that song? Michael W. Smith, or somebody wrote a song. Sorry, Lord, for the things we've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've made it. You know, talking about worship. And that song was written, and they bring that in. Michael W. Smith talks about that, and others talk about that. It's a wide range of people. Toby Mac. You know, a bunch of people in there. You got to go see it if you like music, Christian music. And so, you know, and they opened up about, you know, how that, you know, it became more pure when they weren't doing it, you know, for you know, the best music and the fame, and, you know, because sometimes it gets to be about the wrong thing, and that's what that song was about. And they still have a problem with that. And we're always going to have problems with that in the body of Christ. People are going to want to try to sell Jesus. They're going to get into the ministry for the money. And if I can just get one book or one song, if I can just get one song out there, man, that everybody likes, and get 10 million people liking it, I'm going to be a millionaire overnight. I mean, that's kind of what goes through people's minds. And they think, well, it's all in the name of Jesus, so what's the big deal? Right? Well, you know, it's a big deal. And they talk about it a little bit in this movie. And sometimes you have to really pay close attention to where they go with it, because it took me 2 or 3 times to really catch on that they were saying that they didn't make it all about Jesus, but they made it all about other things and, you know, money too. And so it was very, very, very interesting. I think you might enjoy it. And also one of the top musicians that Amy Grant even said, this guy and many other people said he was an essential person to listen to. An essential person. Guess who that person was? Became well known. Anybody know who that is? People can name a lot of people, but his name was Keith Green. Remember Keith Green? Anybody remember who Keith Green is? Keith Green became, is it Keith Green? Yeah, it was Keith Green. And he was very, very popular, very well known, very powerful. His music was powerful. People just, even the well-known Christian leaders to this day say he was an essential. You needed to listen to him. And the point that they made about it, now I want y'all to listen to this for a minute because this is important. I'm telling you some stuff that's pretty cool. Well, if you could just really listen to this. This guy, Keith Green, who he ended up dying in a plane crash later. I can't remember all the details about it. But very, very powerful, one of the most powerful musicians and worship leaders known to that whole arena of music, that whole area of worship and music. His name is Keith Green. And what they said about him was, oh, he could have made a lot of money. That's what they said. They said he could have made a lot of money, but he gave his music away. He would make the music, go into the studio, do the thing, was an amazing musician, amazing producer, and then he would give it away. When I saw that, and I remember the guy, and I still listen to that guy sometimes. He is amazing. And he gave his music away. He wasn't there to make money. And guess what? He is, to this day, one of the most amazing, talked about worship leaders of the age. Isn't that amazing? Just to kind of line it up with PGN and what we do here a little bit and the message that we preach. Yeah, it's really, really, really good. You just have to go watch it. I'm trying to find that guy's name. I'm pretty sure you'd think I would know it. Been talking about all this stuff here. But, let me see if I can find it. Make sure I get that right. Heath Green just doesn't sound right. Yeah, and I'm talking about this for a reason because, yes. All right, it's Keith Green. It is Keith Green. And he has albums. They say that his albums were an essential thing you want to listen to. These are the big people. These are the big-time people. They said Keith Green, his albums are essential, necessity. He could have made lots of money, but he gave it away. And let me tell you something, friend. If that's not a testament to what God has been teaching us here on PGN and trying to get the point across to what God's trying to do, because I get a lot of criticism about it. You know, people, after a while, people just kind of ignore me. But this movie, people listen to it really closely and hear what they're saying, I mean, it was mind-boggling, right? Mind-boggling. And so I just want you guys to know about that. All right, here's one of the things I want to talk about tonight. I really believe God's trying to prevent us from having a breakdown. You know, when God starts pouring out his spirit and when God starts doing what he wants to do, that we make sure that we get the revelation out there, the word of God, the wisdom of God, so that people will know what to be warned of, to warn people. The Bible is full of warnings. One of the greatest warnings in the Bible, in the whole Bible, about being careful what you do and watch what you do, is about the life of King David, our favorite man, King David, a man who has a heart for God. King David was an amazing man. To this day, even after all the things he failed in, you see his name even written in the book of Revelation, talking about David and his, you know, it's just really amazing how David became, even to this day, an amazing man. And even with God, where God says, watch what you say about David as far as, you know, don't say he was evil, bad, because even though he made mistakes, he's now my favorite. You know, he has a heart after me. And here's the thing about it. But the reason that God recorded David's life in the Bible was so that you and I could learn from it. So that you and I could learn from it. And most people don't realize that most of the Psalms that he wrote that seemed to be, you know, God, forgive me for my sins, have mercy on me, according to thy loving kindness, and all those words. When you understand why those Psalms are in the Bible, when you actually understand why they are there, then you see what God is trying to let us understand and partake of, and go, I don't want to have to do what David did. I mean, he did it and he did it right, but it's there as an example of what not to do, and not be some slime bag who got right with God and then went back and forth and back and forth and finally got right with God and died, you know, saying, forgive me, Jesus. We're not talking about that kind of person. That's okay, too. Whatever, when you're forgiven, friend, you're forgiven. But once you get into the open, once God brings you into the open and he says, this is my, I'm proud of you. That's what he did with David. That's what the anointing on David did. Is it brought great glory to God? And David went through much trial. He was raised up by God, the king that was king when he was a young man. His name was Saul, and you know about Saul. Saul was a good king for a little bit, and then he fell. And then Samuel goes and anoints David. Everybody hears about it, and then Saul finally finds out about it, so he tries to start killing David. Saul, the king, tries to kill David so that David wouldn't become king. And so David, so graciously, so anointed, so powerful, what an amazing man. And he could have killed Saul. He could have taken out Saul many times, but he did not.
And you see that in the Bible. I don't want to go through all the scripture right now, because most of you are familiar with that. You'll know what I'm talking about. He could have killed him several times because Saul was chasing him out in the wilderness. And it was really a sad thing. But you see the demonstration, just like you see the demonstration of what happened after David sinned, you see the demonstration of how God was with him and how that you we treat the anointing and those who are anointed, even though they don't like us. Even though they may come after us, even though they may hate us, how we treat them. If God has anointed them, it's one of the most powerful teachings you'll ever see. It's the most powerful revelation you'll ever get out of the Bible. It's how David, even though David had not done anything wrong, nothing wrong, I mean literally nothing wrong, Saul was trying to kill him. And it's, and David being, you know, a smart man and an anointed man, he hid from Saul, but every once in a while he'd sneak up on Saul because he was such a great warrior. That he would sneak up on Saul, and he would, you know, do some things to let Saul know, hey, you know, he leaves signs. He leaves some signs around him showing, I was here, you know, I could have killed you. I didn't. And Saul even knew David could have killed him, you know, more than once, and yet David did not. What is that trying to tell us? That's trying to tell us something. That's trying to say, how do you treat God's men? David still said, you know, Saul, you know, I've done nothing wrong. You're doing a bad thing. He told him, you're doing a bad thing by coming after me. I've done nothing wrong for you. He didn't sit there and say, oh, Saul, you're so wonderful. You're so sweet. He spoke plainly to him. He said, you're a bad guy. You know, you came after me, but you're God's anointed. Therefore, I'm not going to touch you. Friend, that should teach us volumes on how we should treat. David in the Bible, you can't even find anything like that in the New Testament. It's some of the most amazing teachings and revelations that we could get out of the Bible. And so a lot of this is in Samuel, and you'll find it also in the Bible. I'm going to talk about more of it later. But tonight I want to focus on a couple of things for the sake of understanding why David's the great things he did were in the Bible, how God was with him in the Bible, how God openly, publicly glorified David, and David glorified God for that, and God crowned him as a mighty man through literal physical situations, through amazing feats of battle and war. It was amazing. Everybody just loved David, and God gave him amazing favor, and whatever David wanted, basically David got. That's where he was at with God. That's the kind of favor God gave David. He gave him that much favor. So as David progressed, he became king. Saul died, David had the guy killed that killed Saul. He thought the guy that killed Saul thought he'd be doing David a favor, and he told David, I killed him. I finally killed him. David goes, well, you're dead. And he killed him. Even though Saul tried to kill David many times, he killed the man who killed Saul because he said, you have done wrong to God's anointed. You can't even replace that amazing teaching and revelation from the Bible. And it's all written in the Bible so that you and I can glean from that. God doesn't hide their sins. He doesn't hide how he used them. God doesn't hide that. He opens up and he says, man, I'll raise you up. I'll exalt you if you'll exalt me. And in due season, you know, I will raise you up if you'll just keep your eyes on me. But then David, when he got kind of bored and didn't quite, you know, keep things going on, He fell into sin, and him and Bathsheba got it on. She was married, and he saw her, and he lusted after her, and he told his men, go get her, I want her. And he took somebody else's wife, and then when he got her pregnant, he tried to hide it. He tried to get her husband to come off the out of war. They were at war, and he pulled him off the troops and brought him home and tried to get him drunk. Because he wouldn't go home and sleep with his wife. David says, why don't you go home and sleep with your wife? You know, go home and spend time with his wife. He said, oh, king, I can't do that. Because my people, my brothers are out fighting, and I don't want to go home and have the pleasures of my wife and food and have that when they're out fighting. He was a very, very faithful person. And finally, David gets him drunk. He said, David was strategizing, because if he didn't have him have sex with his wife, then they were going to know that she got pregnant by somebody else besides her husband. So he schemed, he wheeled, and he dealed, and when it didn't work, he deliberately and willfully, David deliberately and willfully had her husband taken to the front lines and killed. Had him killed. A faithful, loyal man. David had him killed. Friend, that is the most disgusting. That is worse than anything I know most people have done. And it's all written in the Bible. And, like, we're supposed to ignore that, not read that, because there's a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't be talking bad about so-and-so's sin, some big leader's sin, you know, because that's just not very good. If they've been forgiven, you shouldn't be talking about it. Well, I don't know. It's in the Bible. Why is it in the Bible? Why do we need to address this stuff? Why? We need to address it properly. We need to address it like God addresses it. How did God address David after he sinned, after he got it right with God? How did God address him? He calls him a man after his own heart, right? But if we don't understand that before God said, you're a man after my own heart, after David had such favor and openly had favor, and then he openly shamed him by not only committing adultery, but then having her husband, when he wouldn't go sleep with her, he would be loyal to his own truth, David's own truth, to Israel's own truth, wouldn't go home and sleep with his wife and have... And David's scheming plan didn't come to pass. He killed him. I mean, friend, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And yet it's in the Bible. Why is it in the Bible? Why does God put stuff like that to shame this amazing man who God approved of, got so much favor, he had all this favor, anything David wanted, God gave him, and more. He had all the wives he wanted. That's one thing he got in trouble for. He started messing after a woman that was somebody else's wife. Well, he had plenty. He could have had the most beautiful women in the whole kingdom. He could have had any of them he wanted. He could have had anything he wanted, friend, because he had the favor of God. Why do we need to talk about this stuff? Why? Why is it in the Bible? It's not. You can't tear out those pages and say, well, we can't be talking about that because David was a man after God's will. Yeah, but you see the end, but then we need to see what goes on in between and how God treats a person. I want you to watch this because this is going to blow your mind. How God deals with a person that he openly shows favor for year after year after year and lifts up David, and David's not just the king of any nation. He's the king of God's nation. And he does this dastardly, horrible, disgusting, I mean, it's just so horrific that you just look at it and you go, how could God say that man has a heart after God? But he did. And to this day, you better not say anything about David. You can say anything that's in the Bible, but you can't say, no, God don't love David no more. No, that's it. You better not be saying that, right? Because God says, when I say I have a heart, that person has a heart for me and I have a heart for him, Don't change it. But then he didn't take out all the other things in the Bible. And this is what happened to David. Same thing happened to Moses. I'm going to show you tonight. The same thing happened to Moses that David did. What happened to David? And it's in the Bible for a reason. So we can learn from it so that you today that are going to be raised up by God to be get God's favor on your life in a way that David had or in a way that Moses had or in a way that whoever in between had, that when God shows you his favor publicly, I'm not talking about, you know, a regular Christian serving Jesus. It's a whole different thing when God favors you publicly. You openly get favor from God, and anything you basically want, you get. Oh, and then you do that, what David did. He didn't just commit adultery, friend. He schemed. He lied. He cheated. He turned into worse than some heathen. That's what he did. That's what's in the Bible. God didn't take it out. God didn't cover it up. God exposed it by a prophet. A prophet came and told him how bad it really was. You took somebody, you had 1,000, you had 10,000 sheep, and you went and took a man who had one sheep, you went and took his one sheep away from him, and you had 1,000, and could have had 1,000 more, and you took that one sheep away. Why is God pounding that away in the Word of God? Why? Why? Why must we talk about it and talk about it the way the Scriptures talk about it and not go, well, it wasn't really that bad. That's why God said he has a heart after God. No, we got to tell it like it is. There's no shame in that. What's the purpose of it being in the Bible? To warn us. To say, hey, Randy, hey, you, whoever you are, when I give you my favor, once I give you my favor, like I give my favor to David, like I give it to Moses and others, and then you turn around and openly shame me, openly, it will be impossible for that favor to continue. I will take that favor away from you. And that is exactly what happened to David. His family fell apart. His sons rose up and rebelled against him and were overcoming him. And there, it was just really bad. I mean, that when he opened that door, and the prophet told him, the prophet Nathan, we're going to read it later, the prophet Nathan told him that he was going to suffer these things, that he had lost his favor with God in the natural realm. He still had a heart after God. God still loved him. God was going to still protect his son because of him. And there's a lot of things that still went on with David. But what happened with him is that his favor in the natural realm came to a screeching halt. A screeching halt. It never returned, ever. When Solomon came on the scene, things changed. But before then, once you do that openly, it is impossible. I'm going to tell you tonight what the Word of God says. The Word of God says it is impossible for that to turn around. You will no longer have God's open favor. The will of God, the purpose of God that God has for your life, it will not be finished. You will come short of the glory of God. Doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. Doesn't mean that. We're talking about your earthly favor. David had a heart after God. That's what we know him for now. He's in the book of Revelation. He's all over the place. People talk about David, and we talk about David, and we talk about how great and awesome he is. And to this day, he got right with God, and we say he has a heart after God, and God loves him. But his favor was taken away from him. Jimmy Swaggart, the same thing happened to him. He had favor. I mean, he was moving so fast. God was raising him up. And then he deliberately and willfully sinned. He did it not only once, repented of it publicly on TBN with Paul Jankraus. They said, they were crying. They were so happy. Jimmy, you got this right with God. And then a few months later, he did the same thing again. Same thing again. Got busted. This is all open. I'm not saying some conspiracy theory thing about somebody. That actually happened to him. He never got his favor back. Jim Baker, the same. Jim Baker will never have God's favor back. Jim Baker can have a heart after God, and God can say, Randy, Jim has a heart after me, and I have a heart after him. And I'm going, yeah, I know. But we also know what the scriptures say, and the scriptures say you can never give their favor back to them once they abuse it because of the open shame that they brought to him. It's impossible. That's what the scripture says. We read it the other night. It is impossible for that to be turned around in the natural realm, for their favor to be given back to them. It happened to Moses, too. Y'all remember what happened to Moses? Remember? I'm going to read it to you. Numbers 20, verse 12. God had given Moses so much favor, miracles, signs, and wonders. He used him to bring a poor little old nation who had nothing. They were a bunch of poor people. They were slaves. I mean, he went in, and by the power of Almighty God, he brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. They came out on the wings of an eagle. And that wasn't the United States, by the way, either. The wings of the eagle was not the United States. Sorry about my Pentecostal brother. But he brought them out. It was amazing. He put his rod forth, and God opened up the Red Sea. The children of Israel crossed over miraculously. It was amazing. And then when their enemies came in behind them to take him out, God had Moses do it one more time, and the waters closed in on them, and they were all destroyed. All that stuff was, man, that was so amazing. And the wealth they came out with was mind-boggling. Multiple millions of dollars they came out with, gold and silver and cloth. They came out with that. Now, friend, I don't know about you, but that's called major favor, public favor. They go through the wilderness. They run out of water. God told Moses to strike the rock with his rod, and water came out as a mighty miracle, mighty miracle. And then what I'm reading to you right now, Numbers 20, verse 12, and I'm going to show it to you because it's exactly what happened to David. In a whole different manner, Moses didn't commit adultery. He didn't do anything like that, but I'm going to read it to you right here because I found it in the scripture today to make sure I got it. Moses openly shamed God. Well, that's what God says about it. I'm going to read that to you. Moses openly shamed God before the people. Just like David openly shamed God before the people, and then he lost. Whatever else God was going to do with David, it all just shut down. Then he had inner turmoil, and nothing could be progressively done in his kingdom ever again after that with David. Never. He still had a heart after God. God still loved him. We still love David today. God loves David today. God restored his name. But his natural favor never returned, ever. It was impossible. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. We need to learn this stuff because it's not, oh, I think it might return. No, it's not going to return. Once you openly, well, listen, whatever sin you got going on, you better get it done with before you enter into public, you know, and God starts really raising you up publicly. You better make sure you got that stuff taken care of. You and your wife need to make sure you're doing your thing on a regular basis so you don't get all whatever and start jumping in bed with somebody else because that's going to cost you everything. Oh, you may get it right. Your family may stay together. Oh, yeah, God forgive me. And you may truly have gotten it right with God. But if you do that and you publicly shame before God's people and God's people have to see that and God has to watch that, friend, it doesn't matter whether you get it right with God or not. According to the Bible, you will never have your natural favor, your earthly favor with God again. You may still have the anointing may come back on you for other things, but it will never return for that, according to the Bible. And I'm going to read this to you. It's going to blow your mind. Why are you talking about this, Randy? Are you trying to talk bad about David and Moses, about Jimmy Swaggart? No. Oh, I'm just trying to teach you something that most people don't even know is in the Bible. I'm trying to teach you something, my friend, because I want to warn you that what God's about to raise people up in this country and around the world. If they don't get a hold of this message and eat this message and start reading in the Bible and start seeing that once you openly shame God in a very open way, now, if you have to, you know, you're nobody, nothing going on, that doesn't approve of your sin. But it's a whole different thing when you openly shame Christ, openly shame him. And here's how it went with Moses. I want to read this to you. I could talk about a lot more people and a lot more situations to show you the scripture about this, to warn you, to let you know God loves you. He's trying to tell you through this prophet tonight, please be careful what you do. The devils, you need to pray for your leaders. You need to pray for your prophets, for your pastors. You need to pray for those people because once they get open in favor with God and they openly shame God, I don't care. They can get around with the church and they can keep preaching at that church. But God will never restore their favor, and the will of God, God is going to have them do. It will all stop dead in its tracks. What if they get right with God? It doesn't matter. They can get right with God, go to heaven, and God can refresh them, bless them, but they will never have their favor, and the purpose that God had for them to do will stop dead in its tracks. Dead in its tracks. I'm going to read to you. You see it with David. If you don't believe it, go study it out. You'll find out. After that, David's life fell apart, never became the same again. Well, God should have, I'm telling you, this is a principle that you need to understand. I want you to watch this. This is about Moses. Everybody knows what Moses did. God told him to speak to the rock the second time, but Moses didn't speak to the rock. He struck the rock. Now, I want you to look how God looked at this so you can understand what we're talking about tonight and how the very same thing that happened to David happened to Moses. With David's life, the favor of God in his life in the natural realm, for his earthly blessing, for his earthly inheritance, for his earthly ministry, stopped dead in his tracks. Never to have anything else. He never produced any other favor in his life. God wouldn't even let him build the temple. God would not let him build the temple either. All right, look at Numbers verse 20, chapter 20, verse 12. I'm going to read this to you about Moses. Same thing happened to Moses. But the Lord said to Moses after he struck the rock, when God said, speak to the rock, there was a reason why God wanted him to speak to the rock in front of the people, because everything was done in front of the people. Everything God did through Moses was in front of the people. All the plagues that were done to set them free was done in front of the people. The blood of the doorpost, that was all announced and done. Everything was done in front of the people before God and before his angel. You understand? You see what I'm saying tonight, friends? So Moses, when he struck the rock, something happened, and this is the way God looked at it. This is the way God looks at things, friend, and we have to absorb this, get this in our belly and eat it, and get all this false, nonsense, religious garbage out of our lives. All right, here it is. Numbers 20, verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. And here's what the other version says, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me to show my holiness or sanctify me in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land I have given them. You see right there, friends? Now, what's the big deal about that? Well, with you and I, we weren't there. We didn't know what was going on and what God was trying to do in front of his people. Everything God does, revivals, outpourings, miracles, signs and wonders, are for people. It's to bless the people. It's to show the people that God is with you. And when you openly, shamefully shame him, deliberately and willfully, now you may get accused of a lot of things. You can't just have people. Everything that Jimmy Swaggart did, he said he did. Everything Jim Baker, they said Jim Baker did, 99% of it is what he said he did. Marcus Lamb, the same thing. He admitted it. This is not hidden. This is not. And I'm going to tell you something about all three of these people and about anybody else, whoever they are. And there's bunches of them, but these are the ones that most people know most about. I'm not shaming any of them. God used Marcus Lamb in my life. God used Marcus Lamb in my life in an amazing way. I would never, I'd never say he doesn't have a heart for God. Marcus Lamb has a heart after God. I'm going to teach you something tonight that you better get a hold of it and start praying for yourself and for your ministries and the ministers over you so that this does not happen, because when you're part of a ministry, everybody who loved Jimmy Swaggart and were part of Jimmy Swaggart's ministry, everybody who's part of Jim Baker's ministry and loved Jim Baker, everybody who's a part of Marcus Lamb and Pete and Daystar, you know, all the people that believed in that, and they, all of a sudden, the purpose, they're not going to hell. God's going to call them. I love them. Favor. I love them. But their natural inheritance in the earth realm, ministry-wise, before the people, before in revival and outpouring publicly, that is over, according to the Bible. It is over. It is done. It is finished. That's why God is having me tell you people about Daystar Network. I love Daystar Network. God used Daystar Network in my life, amazingly. It has nothing to do, it's nothing personal. I'm speaking as a prophet. As a prophet, I'm telling you these things. As something from the Scripture and the Word of God, I'm telling you these things. You must listen to what God is saying and quit going with your emotional realm and listen to Jezebel and listen to that twisted sister spirit that tries to come in and say, well, you know, you shouldn't be talking bad about this. I'm not talking bad about them. Just like I talk bad about David for a minute, right? Because the Bible talked bad about him. But then you have to finish up what the Bible says about David. And God says, well, you know, even though I never gave him favor anymore in the earthly realm, I favored him and I have a heart after him. I say the same thing about Jimmy Swaggart, about Jim Baker, about Marcus Lamb. The same thing. They're in the same lane as David, in my opinion. And that's pretty awesome. But the problem is something else. The problem is once you openly shame God in that fashion, it is over for the manifestation of your ministry to go forward in much of anything in the earth. You can try to feed the poor and do some great things, and you know, but as far as a progressive, aggressive outflow of God's will in your life, I'm sorry to tell you, Daystar, it's done. You can still do a lot of great things, feed the poor, help Israel. And God, if it'd be nice to you and you got favor with God and you have a heart after God, that's great. Jim Baker, God loves you. You can sell all the stuff you want to, try to raise money. God, but you know what? It's over for you as far as in the natural realm. You know, and you're not going anywhere. Jimmy Swaggart is not going anywhere. God will bless them where they're at. They'll be okay, just like David. David kept on living his life. Things went on. But he never, from that day forward, was able to do anything mighty from God in his ministry. And you see it. You're going to see it with Daystar too. I'm telling you this as a prophet. I'm not telling you this because I got a vendetta against them. I have nothing against them. Those people help me. Those people are godly people. I love them. But when that openly shame thing came, and he was in the midst of revival, and all the things are going on, with the revival going on, and the outpouring going on, and all of a sudden, the shame that Marcus Lamb even lives to this day, friend, it's not that God hadn't forgiven him and God doesn't think that Marcus doesn't have a heart after God. He does. Just like with David, it's no different. Be careful what you say about him. But we need to speak the truth. Why do we need to speak the truth about this stuff? Because we need to learn. You need to know this is real. You want to stop. You don't. The Satan knew how to stop David dead in his track from taking any more kingdom away from him was to get him in sin. Once he got him in sin, he knew. Publicly, openly shamed, it was over. Done. God still loves him. He had a heart after him. He went to heaven. He's one of the favorite people of God. All that. But his natural ministry, over. Done. Finished. Jimmy Swaggart, same way. God still loves him. God still using words that. But he doesn't progress in anything. He's over there doing his little thing. Thank God for it. He's probably helping a little few little people. It's great. Thank God for that. It's awesome. God loves him. He has a heart after God. Jim Baker and Marcus Lamb in the same shoes. You have to understand, I'm not doing this. I'm not saying this to be ugly, to be rude. I love these people. I look up to these people. But I also want to go to the Bible and pick what the Bible says about it so we can learn from it. We need to learn why God does it. We need to learn why it's okay to bring somebody who has publicly sinned. We don't condemn them. We don't say I don't tell the people that Marcus Lamb's going to hell or Jim Baker or Jimmy Swaggart. No, they're all going to heaven. Probably have a better place in heaven than I have. It's not about that at all. So some of you we have a lot of people who listen to the show who aren't really PGN people. So I'm talking to them too. Okay, so it's not all my PGN friends. I also talk to a lot of other people. I'm on the show, so I hope you don't mind. But this is the way it is. You can say, "Oh, you shouldn't be talking bad about people. You shouldn't be doing that." If you don't even know the Bible, you're not listening to what I'm saying. You're just criticizing me because I come against your merchandising. That's what you come against me for. And I know that. You can hem-haw around, talk about all the other stuff. He says he's talking bad about Jim Baker. He's talking bad about Marcus Lamb. Yeah, I'm talking bad about them just like I'm talking bad about David. You're right. That's true. But I'm also talking good about them like God talks about David after it's all over with. I'm talking good about Jim Baker and Marcus Lamb and Jimmy Swaggart, and you can name a bunch more. I'm trying to teach us, God is trying to teach us something, friends, that we must get burned in our spirit and our heart so that you will not only be careful for yourself in the future when God raises you up as God raises you up, but you can pray for your leaders. Pray for me. All you who believe in what we're doing here at PGN, and if I was to have an open shame thing and fall, which I haven't, a lot of people accuse me of a lot of things, but there's nothing. It's not even anything close. Nobody's ever even kind of made it close. I laugh when people try to come up with some bunch of horse manure. It's crazy. I talk about myself openly. I have for a long time. But God's getting ready to raise us up, friend, and get ready. Because you need to pray for me, because all of you who believe in what we're doing, that could come to a screeching halt if Randy, did some, thing like what they did. I'm not going to go to hell. I mean, I get right with God. I feel like I'm hard for God like David did. But I don't want to be among them. I don't want to be counted like that. I want to be like Billy Graham. I want to be like many other people who fought a good fight. We still thank God for all those people, but I don't want to be in their shoes. I don't want to be saying, yeah, they said that God still said they had a heart after God. Thank God for that. I don't want to be one of those that got their badge of having a heart after God the way they got it. I don't want that badge. I hope I never get it. I pray to God I never get it. I want the one that says, my good and faithful servant. Billy Graham is one of the ones that I know of that publicly, I mean, he was a very, very public man. If he would have ever been busted in sin, and all these other guys I'm talking about, they all admitted their sin, every one of them. And then David did too. This is supposed to teach us a lesson. It's not about, getting on some thing and riding it saying, oh, these people are sinners. Are you kidding me? We're all sin, fall short of the glory of God. But when you get raised up by God, and God starts raising you up and giving you his favor and gives you anything you want. Solomon? What did he tell Solomon? So Solomon said, what do you want, Solomon? Anything you want, you got it. That was David's son. Didn't ask David that anymore, but he asked David's son, Solomon, and Solomon was a product of adultery. Look how gracious God is, y'all. I mean, look at that, how amazing God is. And Solomon went along for a long way before he sinned publicly and shamed God. And when he did, same thing happened to him. Same thing happened to him. But he went along for a long time, built the temple, a lot of great things. Friends, that's why we need to pray for our leaders. Because once they get shut down and they openly shame God, it is impossible to turn that around. That's why I'm telling you about that Daystar Network. As long as Marcus Lamb is the president of that, as long as Marcus Lamb is Jim Baker is the president of whatever it is, I pray they do a good job and help a lot of people and do whatever, but it's never going to be what God was going to have it be. Never. Jimmy Swaggart the same way. Same way it was with Moses. Moses was supposed to take him in, according to Numbers 20, verse 12. But God says, now you're not. Why? Because you didn't sanctify me or show me or trust in me in front of the people and honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites. Read it. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. God doesn't look upon that very good, friend. We know Moses went to heaven. We know Moses is an awesome man of God. But his human, his godly purpose for taking him into the land of Israel stopped immediately. Immediately. He went up on the mountain with God. God loved him. He got it right. Oh, God, yeah, it's wonderful. Thank God. Moses is restored. But God said, you're not going to take him in because you didn't sanctify me in front of the people. Once I gave you favor with them and lifted you up in front of them, with my anointing, with my favor, and then you openly didn't sanctify me, he cut him off, friend. So it must be something really, really, really bad about that in God's eyes. How can you have a heart after David and then God just not pick David right back up where he started? Why? Why with Moses? Why with others? I don't know. It's just the way it is. The Bible says it's impossible for them to, not to get saved or get right with God, but it's impossible for them to restore and repent and turn and have that favor turned back to them. It's impossible. That's what the Bible says. We read the scripture the other night. All right, so anyway, good to be with you tonight. I hope you learned something. I hope you know that I'm not condemning anybody or saying anything, but I hope you understand the lesson. If you did, please say amen. If you get what God's trying to say tonight, thank you for saying amen and hallelujah. Yeah, okay. Okay. All right, let's do this thing tonight. Let's pray. Okay. People are giving tonight. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Danette, for letting me know about that. I appreciate that. I hope you guys hear the message tonight. I hope you understand my heart. I hope you understand the heart of God. And know why I'm talking about these. I'm not talking about these things to be some self-righteous, arrogant. Are you kidding me? My God. That would be disastrous. And I get really excited. So it sounds loud through here. Sometimes I get excited. That's why I had to rent. That's why I rent an office to do a little room to do these things in. Because I get really loud and excited. And I'm up to 1 o'clock in the morning doing it all most of the time. So, I do get excited. So pray for me, and thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. All right, let's check in and see. Get ready for communion. If you don't have your communion cup with you, you can get it. I've got mine right here. Get ready to take communion. Let's believe God to reveal to us the hidden secrets of God, the things that have been hidden, the things that people, like I've had people, coming against me about this, talking about this stuff, because they don't really listen to what I'm trying to say. They don't really listen to what I'm saying. And so I understand. It doesn't really matter. But when you listen to the complete story and listen to the complete word, then it all changes. And you start understanding that we're actually trying to help people and not condemn anybody. If I condemn them, I have to condemn myself. So how can we do that? We cannot do that. So we're going to take communion tonight to release any condemnation that you might be under. he sends you have in your life so that God can raise you up. You want to get those things taken care of, right? If they're going to shame you, you don't want to be doing them because they will come back and bite you. They just like they did David, just like, you know, David obviously wasn't doing what he needed to do, and he got busted, and it was a horrible thing. He just grieves to this, and you see a lot of the Psalms, when you read a lot of the Psalms, and you see David saying, restore to me, you know, take not your Holy Spirit from me. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about what he did. Did y'all know that? Yeah, I'm going to read that real quick, and then we're going to take, we want to get ready to finish up here. I want to read these scriptures to you. You know, a lot of them, you know, he talks about, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Look at that. You know why David's sin was ever before him, what he did with Bathsheba? Because everybody knew about it. Everywhere David went, every time he did a public meeting, every time he gave a public speech, he knew. Everybody seeing him knew, oh, well, that's David. We love you, David, but we know you committed adultery and you had her husband killed. We all know that now. So every time he went before people, you can't help but the people, knowing that the people are thinking about that, even though they forgive you, they're still going, you know, David, you know, why didn't you do that? We love you, but why didn't you do that? We love you, but why didn't you do that? You know? And every time you see somebody publicly, that's what happens. You start thinking, it's ever before you. For my sin is ever before me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. This is what he was talking about. What he had done. He knew it devastated the heart of God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, Lord, why did he say that? Take not your Holy Spirit from me? Because he knew what he had done had offended God more than anything else. And the way he did it, with the public favor that he had, and the prophet brought it out. When the prophet said to David, when Nathan came to David, he said, oh, prophet, I have a story to tell you. There's a man who had 1,000 sheep, and he goes to a man who has 1 sheep, takes his sheep from him, and barbecues it for his party. What do you think about that man? And David says, I'd kill that sucker. I'd kill him, sorry, scumbag. And the prophet said, that's you. You did that with Bathsheba. Do you see? And when you start listening to how God saw that and how he used the prophet used a parable and got the king to judge himself, what would you do with somebody who did something like that? Oh, king, you think the king would be better than that. You think the king would be thinking different than that. But he was a very protective person. What did he say? He said, I'd kill that sucker. I'd take him out so quick. Where is he? Let's get him. And the prophet said, oh, king, in all respect, sir, it is you. And at that moment, it broke him up. It tore him up, and he's saying right here, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why was he praying that? Because of what he did and the way God looked at it, and especially through the prophet. When the prophet brought that parable before him, he did it in a way that it would forever be in the mind of David, that he would realize what he had done and the way he did it and how sickening that it was. Eventually, David received assurance that his soul would be delivered from the lowest hell. But this assurance could not restore the blessing he had lost. They were gone forever. David prayed another price too, an earthly one, which haunted him until the day he died. The prophet said, the sword shall never depart from thine house. Nathan, that's what Nathan told him. He said, David, because of what you've done, the sword shall never depart from your house. From your house. Not because he sinned, but because of the favor God gave him, and he had 1,000 women, could have had any woman he wanted, but he takes the one woman, the one guy had who was a loyal, faithful servant, and he took him, and then he had him killed because he wouldn't go sleep with his wife and make it look like her husband got her pregnant when he's the one who got her pregnant. See, you have to look at that stuff. We have to look at that straight in the eye and say, oh, no, we shouldn't be looking at that stuff. Jezebel, shut up. Twisted sister, go to hell where you belong, twisted sister, you lying devil. We're going to look at this straight in the eye so we can learn from it. We're going to partake of it. We're going to eat communion tonight going, God, save me from this. Help me to walk in your ways. Help me to pray for my pastor, for my leader, that they never do what David did. Hallelujah. The prophet said, the sword shall never depart from thy house because thou hast despised me and has taken the wife of Uriah. That's exactly the word the prophet told him. 2 Samuel 12, verse 10. Read it for yourself. This prophecy was literally fulfilled. I hope you're hearing this tonight and you're not going, that Jezebel spirit trying to talk into your ear and telling you, oh, Randy, he's just talking bad about people. That's all he's doing. That's what some people would say. Jezebel, you're such a you're pathetic. God's going to take you out. And I hope I get to be one like Elisha where it happened on my watch. I really mean that, too. I'm not kidding. On my watch, because I believe it is. I believe it's going to happen on my watch, y'all, on your watch, too, hopefully. I know it's going to happen on my watch. I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. I'm going to tell you one of these days when God gives me the freedom, because I believe I'm not ashamed or afraid to talk about it, but God has to give me permission. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen on my watch. Hallelujah! Jezebel's going to be cast out of that second story, out of that second heaven. Yeah. It's going to happen on my watch, friend. You watch and see. It's going to be amazing. I hope you're part of it. Yeah. Take that, devil. Yeah. Yeah, take that, devil. We love these people that have fallen. We love them. But we're going to learn from their life. We're not going to sit there. We shouldn't be talking bad about those people. This is not something secret. It's been brought into the open by them. They said they did it. But their favor will never be restored, just like David. And David was a much greater man of God than any of those guys, and those guys are great men of God. Ain't nobody like David, y'all. Nobody. I don't see, you know, those guys' names in the book of Revelation. We got David's name in the book of Revelation. God loved David. We need to learn this. Get this in our hearts. Start praying for your beloved brothers and your pastors and your leaders. Because I guarantee you, friend, once that happens to them, and it's sealed, and they can, you know, and it's a proven fact, and it's done, they're out of there as far as their purpose being done. That's it. That just like Moses, I just read it. Just like Moses, Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, says, Moses, now that you didn't sanctify me as holy and trust me in front of the people, look how God looked at that. In front of the people, he said. It wasn't like you did it in front of me, you bad boy. That's not what he said. He said, you didn't sanctify me in front of the people. What did David do? He shamed God when everybody found out about that. That's why his sin was ever before him, friend, because everybody got on. Every time Marcus Lamb gets on TV, I guarantee you, he knows people looking at him like David's sheep looked at him. We love you, man. We're sorry that the sword's coming upon your house. We're sorry about that, but we still love you. Keep doing what you can, Jimmy Swaggart. Jim Baker, we love you, but your purpose, that's why you need to stop. I'm not going to say anything. Just think about what I'm telling you and know where that stuff's going to go. It ain't going to go anywhere. Now, some of you theologians out there that listen to me secretly, why don't you give me a call and let's talk about this. I'd love to take you down the road that God's taking me down because you know it's biblical. I'm getting sassy now, aren't I? Yeah, I am. I'm getting sassy. For sure. I do get a little sassy sometimes. Y'all need to pray for me. Getting a little sassy, Chandler. I know. Just pray for me. I love Jesus, too. I just, I just pray to God I never fall into that. I pray to God I never do. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, I'll never do that. By the grace of God, I won't. By the grace of God, I won't. And that's about it. All right. Let's get ready to pray tonight, y'all. Y'all ready? We're going to take communion. Let's do that together here if you want. And go to the scriptures. Although I don't want to ever hear anybody tell me that listen to that message today, oh, you're talking bad about Brother so-and-so. Come on. Spare me, would you? Spare me. That nonsense. You're not listening to my messages. You're not listening to all of them. You just, you know, it's crazy. All right, I love you, but, you know, you're wrong again. Wrong again. All right, what am I doing? I don't want Revelation 11. I want 1 Corinthians 11. What are you doing here, son? Wake up. All right, let's go here and get 1 Corinthians 11 and check it out. 1 Corinthians 11. Here we go. Verse 11, verse 23. Let's read it. Here and get your communion out, get our bread and lift it up for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Paul the Apostle said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body. Broken for you. Hallelujah, broken for you. Lift up the cup. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Thank you, glory to God, Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for revealing your truth to us, dear Jesus. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that teaches us, that leads us and guides us into all truth. We thank you for all of it. Pray that we'll be able to receive it all, consume it all, eat it all, drink it all, and do what you tell us to do, God. Obey your voice. Pray and obey. All right. Thank you, everybody, for giving tonight. Thank you for that. I'm registering it right now as we're talking. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go here and pray our offerings tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you tonight for your people tonight. I thank you, Jesus, that you are opening up our eyes and you're teaching us why that once we become a public Christian and we build our businesses, we build our ministries upon you and you start messing us up and we go in and we start cheating and lying and may have a bad year, and we just get on into sin, and then it gets all exposed. You know, it's sad to say that's just the way God has it in his word, and it even works today. You see it in these ministries today. It's sad, but all that ends. It all ends, and it's impossible to restore it. That's what the Bible says. It's one of the things you very seldom ever see impossible in the Bible. It's impossible for that repentance to come. I read that scripture to you the other night. If you want to find it, let me know. Or just Google "it is impossible" in the Bible, and you'll find it very easy to find. Okay. All right. I hope you heard that tonight. You heard the whole thing, and then you're jumping at the end and go, "Oh my God, what's happening to him? He's flipping out." Believe. Listen to all of it. Well, I thank you for opening up our eyes tonight to what you're doing. And
you're changing, you're letting us know that you're delivering us, you're opening us up to your will, to your purpose, and you're showing us tonight, God, open up our eyes in the realm of knowing that once you give us public favor and all the things that you give us, and then we turn around and shame you, openly shame you, that it really is hard. You know, and we're not just talking about a little bit of favor. We're talking about favor. We're talking about favor where God shows his favor to you, to all of his people, and he shows it to you and gives it, and you keep doing that. All right. Okay. All right. God bless you. God's going to open up our eyes and show us, you know, what to believe God for, and to pray for your leaders. Pray for them that you never know what they're right on the verge of doing. They may be right on the verge of sinning that sin that will do what happened to David and Moses and, you know, all these other people in our day. It's not that God didn't restore their fellowship with God. Of course he does. It's not impossible to do that. It's just impossible to restore their favor that he gave, that once they had. That's never going to happen again. And you see that with these guys. It's just amazing to see it, literally, in our day, and connect it to Scripture and know why we need to talk about it in the right way. Right? Need to talk, be plain about it, be clear about it, no hiding, no, oh, we can't talk about that. No, we're going to talk about everything here. PG, we're going to talk about everything. But we're going to talk about it like the Bible talks about it. We end up talking about David and all this stuff, talking bad about David. You talk bad about David. No, I said what Jesus said. I said what God said about David. All the way through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then how God dealt with the ugly. And he said, I forgive you. You have a heart after me. But never restored his favor again. Period, friend. That's it. Let that sink in as we take communion. Let that sink into your life. Amen. Because it happens, you know, at every level of favor you have, it just depends on what it is. You can lose your favor. And still love Jesus. Still pray. Still speak in tongues. Still. God can still use you, but he never gives you that raw public favor, right? Because you publicly shame him. All right, I know I said that a bunch of times, but I'm trying to make sure I get it clear into your thinking that it's biblical. All right, we have offerings tonight. Let's pray over offerings tonight. Thank you, Jesus. All right, thank you. Okay, Anya, $1. Thank you, Anya. We just bless you, and thank you, God. Increase Anya. Bless her, God. Let her know that you're watching over her and taking care of her, God. Increase her anointing. God, let your reward system be brought into her life, God, where she can prosper and be in health, even if she's so prosperous. God, I speak prosperity to her God's way, the kind of prosperity that cannot be stopped. No matter what the world is doing, no matter what the globe is doing, no matter what's happening with anybody, that it cannot be stopped with you as you obey God, when you obey God and do what the Lord says. And thank you, Jesus, for that favor. Thank you, Lord, that for your mercies and your tender mercies and your graces, God, in the name of Jesus. Open up the realm of favor for my sister tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Open up that favor realm. Give her that special favor. In the name of Jesus, open it up. Let people smile upon her and go, oh, I've never noticed you before. Who are you? Oh, yeah. That God was on you tonight in Jesus' name. They will turn around like they see in the burning bush and go, who are you? Let me help you. Let me bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Looks like our next giver here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your anointing tonight. Thank you, Lord, for empowering your people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thanks for all the people that are giving tonight, God. This is awesome. Hallelujah. All right. Andrea, $5. Thank you, God, for Andrea. Thank you, Lord, for bringing her to that place of understanding your word, God. Let the spirit of revelation be upon Anya. Andrea. Tonight, in Jesus' name, that the spirit of your revelation
be upon Andrea and bring her to new levels of your revelation, God, where she will capture things that she's never captured before, understand things she's never understood before, and open up things to her she's never been opened up to before, God. And bring to pass the things you've spoken to already. Bring to pass. Let the spirit of restoration, of restoring everything that the cankerworm has eaten, in Jesus' name, let it be restored, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be blessed in the name of Jesus. Your favor, Father God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Cheryl Monroe, I think. Thank you, Cheryl. $5, we just bless you in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. We thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given her. God's going to give you messages, Cheryl. He's going to give you messages of love. He's going to start giving you messages, like messages from God to Cheryl. Cheryl Monroe. Cheryl, in Jesus' name, God giving you messages. I see God giving you messages in all kinds of ways, not just out of the Word, but messages through you know, driving along and see a license tag that says, I love you, or you are blessed, or you are favored. And God's really wanting to let you get your attention, that he's paying attention to you, that he's paying attention to what's going on with you, that, you know, that's what happened with, you see a lot with a lot of people in the Bible, that God just showed that he was paying attention to them in their struggle, in their battle. Because who do we see? We were talking about this the other night with somebody, I can't remember who it was, but we're talking to some man of God, some person in the Bible. Abraham. It was Abraham. Abraham was getting these special messages. God would take him out to the seashore and said, look to the sky and count the stars. Can you count them? No, there's so many of them. So shall be your seed, because he didn't have any seed yet, any children. He looked down to the seashore and can you count all the sands of the seashore? He goes, no way. So shall your seed be. And he would bring him all these signs and let him know, hey, I'm still here. I'm still working. Keep believing. You know, and I see God really bringing you those special messages in Jesus' name, and opening up that place to you to where you see his favor is on you, letting you know that I'm with you. Because we need that. We need that. We all need that. I love it when God surprises me with saying, I'm with you. I'm for you. You know, I'm really watching over you. You know, that's happened to me in the, you know, I've told about the 1134 number that God gave me. That was so precisely on time when I needed it. Cheryl, it was amazing. And it even lifted condemnation off of me. Just a little message that God gave me with numbers, 1134, twice in one day, on two separate business deals. It was amazing. And when I realized that God was trying to say, I'm with you, man. I'm watching everything. It's all good. You're doing good. Just keep going on. It was amazing. And I see God doing it with you. And when you feel like God's with you, you feel like you can conquer anything. Amen. All right, Angela Lanham, $8.88. Thank you, Angela. We thank you, Lord, for God blessing your ministry. We're going to call it your ministry. A lot of people, you know, their business, in many ways, your business is your ministry. Everything you do is your ministry, Angela. And God's going to really open your eyes to show you in a more powerful way that everything you do is your ministry. When you're talking to people on the job, when you're believing God for the increase, the boss, and bless the boss, and give the boss favor, and all the things that God's doing through you on the job and in the job and around the job, and then when you go to the grocery store, you know, everything you do, God's going to start showing you and making you aware of your priesthood and your ministry, because the more we are aware of it, the more we take it as, oh, God has me here. Oh, God's doing this. Oh, God. And then God gets into everything, because he is in everything, but we don't see it. And God's going to really open your eyes to a whole other level and showing you that he's for you, that he's with you, that your ministry is everywhere you go and everything you do. And when we grab a hold of that, girl, the reward system starts kicking in, the reward of whatever we need. You start realizing God starts bringing blessings to us, because he's looking for people, Angela, like you, who will say, God, you know, use me everywhere I go, everything I do, use me, help me. And when we do that and we actually start doing it and realize it's a ministry unto him, no matter what it is, whether it's feeding somebody a meal or cooking somebody dinner or inviting somebody to lunch, whatever the thing is, that it's ministry unto the Lord. Amen. And then God's going to bless you with that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Donna, $10. God bless you, Donna, in Jesus' name, from Florida. We just bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. Uh, Oh, Angela just said, I just ministered to Angela. She says, I just texted a friend, and I was listening to my ministry. Wow, you said that? Wow, that is amazing. Y'all, Angela just listened to the word, right? She said, I just texted a friend, and I was listening to my ministry. What do you mean you were listening to your ministry? What do you mean by that? You were listening to God use you? Wow, and you said that. So what are you talking about? Okay, well, oh, you, oh, me, okay, thank you. Oh, yeah. So you were texting a friend, and you were listening to, wow, I see what you're saying. Gotcha, that's what I thought you were saying. I'm trying to make sure that I don't get it wrong. Cool. That is really awesome. Yeah, and when God starts opening you up to that, you find yourself, you should laugh out loud, I know. That is so cool, how God speaks about that stuff, man. It's amazing. And how God, wanted to show you, that your ministry, to be making ministry-minded. When we're ministry-minded, getting ministry-minded is what helped me step into my ministry. That really is. I started realizing my ministry was everywhere I went. Remember the testimony I gave about when I worked at the construction company where we had about 70, 80 employees, depending on what time of year it was, bunch of employees. And we worked high-rise, and you may be working with 5 people, you may be working with 50 people every day. You never know who you can work with. And every day I would witness to them one way or the other. And finally, we had a revival on there that lasted about 3 years, and a documented revival that lasted about 3 years. Miracles, healings, things going on, work being spoken. It's one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of. But it was all happening on the job because I realized that my ministry was everywhere I went. And when I started looking at it like that, revival broke out. And then pretty soon, God put me back in full-time ministry again, when the time came. So, amen. All right, Donna, same thing, $10. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, for glory, we bless you, Donna. God's giving you a heart to give. God's going to reward your heart to give, just like He rewarded Abraham's heart to give his son. He didn't actually have to give him, but He gave him in his heart, and because Abraham had such a big giving heart, and God sometimes would create a situation to where He would test Abraham, and when He tested Abraham, Abraham would come through. Because, listen, you have a really big heart when you offer up your child. Yeah, Donna, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, when you offer up, Abraham gave, just like Solomon. Solomon was so blessed because he was a big giver. He had a heart to give big, and his father was the same way, and David was the same way. And so because he had a heart for that, God says, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. That's what God does with big givers. So God's going to show you, Donna, He's going to bring to pass your desire to give and help people in a big way. Amen, which means He's going to bless you, right? He has to bless us, right, for that to happen. Yeah. You can't bless without being blessed. So as you live your life, Donna, you get blessed to be a blessing, and I know you know that. Yes, but that's what the covenant really means. It's you get blessed to be a blessing. So thank you, Jesus, for opening that up, that divine appointment, that divine way. The divine way. I've never even heard that before. The divine way. The divine way. And Jesus, open up the divine way, Father. Oh, the holy way. Loosen you. My God, I just saw a flower blossoming. When they start opening up, I just saw it was about a quarter of the way open or something. I don't know how to describe that. I just saw a flower, and it looked like it was a quarter of the way, like it's opening up for you. Woo, Jesus. I saw that in the Spirit just now. Hallelujah, that's amazing. Wow, I don't know what kind of flower that was. It was the most unusual-looking flower. Wow, I don't even know what that was. Maybe it's not important. But Tanisha, $10. Thank you, Tanisha. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for listen, you have a lot of seed. You have a lot of seed in many different areas, spirit, soul, body, finances. You have seed everywhere. And God says that, the Spirit of God says He's going to show you how to water those seeds. It's not that you don't keep planting seeds of favor and love and, your finances and whatever God calls you. Giving, you can give it so many different ways. And it's not that we stop doing that, but the Lord's going to show you how to start watering those seeds, because it's watering the seeds that causes us. Sometimes we got lots of seeds out there planted in good ground with all the prayers and things that you minister on PGN. You guys, you've been ministering, a lot of ministry on PGN, all kinds of things going on. You got seeds planted. That's all seeds. And God's going to show you how to sprinkle some water on them, and how to water them. Because what's a Once the seed starts growing, what do you do from then on? You water it. You know, all you do is really water it. You can fertilize it sometimes, but basically, you know, the seed, the thing that's going to produce the results, it's been planted, and now God's showing you how to, all you got to do now, he's going to make you a waterer. I'm a big waterer. When I first started doing our yard and the trees and all this stuff, man, I watered every day because it was like therapy. And I love to water stuff. And in the spirit, I'm the same way. That's what prophetic is, really. A lot of it is watering. So God's going to show you how to more efficiently and with large amounts of water. Like when Moses struck the rock, what was he doing? He was watering. He watered Israel. Or when the rock opened up and the water came out, he was watering Israel. You know, they died with that water. And they were going to. So God's showing you, he's going to open up the watering realm for you. Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. And so, you know, just like I say, once the plant starts growing, you know, you don't need to plant another tree. You got a tree. What do you do to keep it going? What do you do to keep it growing? Water it. And there's a lot of different ways to water things. You can water things by giving, you know, your giving now turns in not to seed, but your giving now to help people and do what you do, it turns into watering. And I hear you saying so forth. I want to water. God, let me water the seed that's been planted. You got so much seed out there, girl. As you water that, water, because now it's about watering and some fertilizing. And God's going to show you how to do that to get a big product, a lot of fruit. He wants you to bear much fruit. God has called you to bear much fruit. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Karen, $10.10, 10-time increase in every area of my life. All right. A 10-time increase in every area of my life. All right, Karen. I believe you with you for that in Jesus. Again, 10-10. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that right now by the power of God. Oh, Jesus, we give you the glory. We give you glory, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Jesus, Kishapo Kero Movata. Thank you, Mahale. Pachukulavi de Lohu. Eha Mato. Oh, shit. I'm praying over you, Karen. I'm watering you. I just told Tanisha about watering, and then I realized that I'm watering something that you've just planted and prayed over. And Jesus, I'm watering it. Bullshit. Pechone Parahoa. Poskeri Baruaha Capireiro. Osnekito. Oh, shit. Lord, all the seeds that she's got planted. God, here we go again with this. Water it. I start praying the Spirit, Karen. And the Lord says, what am I doing this for? I always ask him what I'm doing this for. What am I doing this for, God, so I can tell him. You're watering. This is a watering thing. Hallelujah. He said, my people have seed up there. They just need to learn how to water it. Hallelujah. There's so many different ways to water something. It's not just one way. There's many different ways. He can pray giving money to somebody to help them out. It can be planting seed. And it can be watering, but you transition into watering. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, open up. Open up, open up. Bless, 10-time increase in every area of her life and her family. In Jesus' name, over Karen's life right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. 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 Bisha Okada. Open up the rivers. Open up the rivers. Okay, there you go. Open up the rivers. There you go. My God, open up the rivers in the name of Jesus. Woo, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Wow. Open up. Now, no wonder he says open up the floodgates. Open up the rivers. So we can water things. Hallelujah. Wow, I just saw that. I just saw that. I saw water. As I was praying in tongues over you, Karen, I saw water being released to water your seeds. Jesus. My God, man. Well, that revelation that for Denisha was like, I think it opened up something. I don't know, man. My God. And in fact, this is like, I'm starting to see this whole thing that God is starting to pour down rain. He's going to teach you how to rain on things. In many different fashions and ways, how to rain on things, how to water things. The earth is dry, it's thirsty, it has a seed in it, it just needs water. Hallelujah. No more famine. In the name of Jesus, no more famine. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I speak over you. I may pray this over everybody's head. I don't know what's going on with this. All of a sudden, I saw people have seed in the ground, all kinds of different ways, prayers, you know, giving their time, their love, their money, their whatever, all this different seeds. And God says, that's why I'm going to pray for the rain. What do we pray for rain for? What does that mean? It watering the seeds so the earth can bring forth. Hallelujah. Over Bianca tonight, $20. Thank you for that, Bianca. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God. I know she's a sowing person, a seed sower. In Jesus' name, every area of her life is a seed. Hallelujah. Come forth, rivers of living water, and water the land around her, Jesus. Water her garden, Jesus. Spring forth, in the name of Jesus. Come forth and bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. Now, when I catch a vein of something, there's a purpose for this, for God's people to realize when they're giving, sometimes you're planting the seed, sometimes you're watering. So when you start giving, you might say, you know, I'm going to water my seed, God. If you got lots of seed out there, but the ground's dry, right? Yeah, that makes sense, right? And he says, that's why you pray for the rain. What does the rain do? It doesn't just refresh the land. It waters the land so the seed can grow, so the plants that are already growing can keep growing. What a simple principle. What power, my God. Hallelujah. Oh, and Sally. Sally's from the UK. I know Sally. What's going on in with Sally in Jesus' name? Because what happens with her in the UK is that, you know, the UK just messed up, man. Been messed up. I found after watching the movie, that Jesus music movie that they just put out, I've watched it 3 times because I get blessed every time I go watch it. Because because I was born again in those times, in that season back in the 70s. And so I was kind of there. It's an amazing movie. But Sally, in the UK, some of the great worship leaders, there have been some great worshipers that have come out of Holy Ghost-filled, glorious worship leaders. I can't think of the guy's name. I saw him. Some of them came out of London in the UK. So there's some people out there. So the same thing with you, Sally. Like, I see God using you to pray. Same thing with you. This may be the whole thing tonight. This may be a theme that we may get into with people. And that God show you how to, that God's going to break the drought in the UK over your life. Break the drought in Jesus' name. And start letting the refreshing rain of the Holy Spirit, the refreshing waters of God to water the ground, to water the seed, and to water the plants you already got going on so they can come back to life again because they've been dry. Hallelujah. I speak over you, no more dryness. I speak over you the nurturing rains of the Holy Ghost pour down upon you in the UK there, Sally. In Jesus' name, bless you. Bless your money. Bless the seed. Bless your prayers. Bless your family. Bless your purposes. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let it be done. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be done. Man, y'all notice that? There's a vein going on. I'm not going to stop it because it's the same old kind of person. When there's a vein going on, that's because we've caught something. And I don't always catch a particular thing like this. You know, sometimes we do. If you notice this, when we pray over offering, when God says, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the flow of the river of God. Thank you, Jesus, for this. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. We thank you, Jesus. Open up the fountains of heaven in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm having trouble with something here. All right, here we go. All right, I got to back up here. Yes. All right. All right. All right, let's go here. Hang on a minute. I think I messed something up. All right. Yeah, I'm telling you, y'all, people are really responding to this because there's something going on with this. I mean, there's something happening with this right now. I mean, like right now. Yeah, there's something happening with this. Hallelujah. Yeah, people are responding to this. I mean, like, you know, yeah, this is, yeah, something's happening here. My God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise. You know what? A lot of you guys, you know, this just hit me tonight. As you know, I'm just following along here like everybody else, and it's like, oh, my God, you know, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, this thing just breaks loose, and God starts saying, I'm watering tonight. And it's really amazing because when I started praying that, you know, all of a sudden I felt like it's raining in here, you know, which kind of caught my attention. I'm kind of like going, ooh, it's cooling. What's going on? But it wasn't just that it was cool in here. It's that I felt, you know, you smell the rain when the rain comes and that refreshing. Yeah, it's now, the anointing is like electricity. Yeah. Amen. In Jesus' name, something's happening with this. I mean, this is something glorious is going on with this. Yeah, Mike is going, yeah, it's now, our destiny is now, we're in. Yeah, it's now, Mr. Moses, the anointing is like electricity coming down my body since you started. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, something's happening with this. I feel electric. He says, yeah, because God's saying something about this. This is really cool. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening this up right now for your people. Thank you for just getting into this, getting in on this. Wow. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Give me a second here. I'm going to back up just for a second. Maybe a second here. I missed something. Okay, there we go. Okay, now I'm getting back on track. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I prayed over Sally. Yeah, and what happened was Lord's Agenda 21. What do you call me Mr. Moses for? What's up with that? Is the financial thing going on? Yeah, I'll receive it. I'll receive anything God wants me to speak to me about. That's what I'll take it. That's for sure. All right. So, wow. Jesus. Woo! Man, I tell you, the power of God just started coming all over me. And I started feeling like it's raining in here, even though I knew I wasn't getting wet. But I felt the atmosphere shift, literally shift. And it got my attention. I'm going, what is that? Like a cool breeze. And I got the air set just, you know, just like it is for the last hour. And it's like, you know, oh, my gosh. It's like it was, you know, starting to, you know, like that rain atmosphere. Like the rain, like it's about to rain. I mean, literally, you know, the atmosphere just changes. That literally happened inside the motel that I'm in right now. I rent a room real cheap, but I get this, and I'm inside this room. And so it's kind of a, you know, cheapest thing I could find to get. To get where I could have my privacy and not have to worry about getting loud and all that till 1 o'clock in the morning. So in this room, it's like all of a sudden, boom, man, just like that. Something activated. You're right. All right, something activated. So every prayer may be about this tonight, y'all, because I want every person to individually get on this, or God wants you to get in on it. So Sandra, $20. I know Sandra. I know all you guys are givers. You give and so you don't just give financially. You give in every way. Everything you do is giving. You got seeds out there everywhere. The Lord says, here's what the Lord says. It's not that we don't still plant seed, but we got, if the seed that we have sown, Sandra, the seed that you have sown already, just over the years, the Lord says, you know, I'm going to start pouring rain on that. I'm going to start raining down on your seed, and your seed's going to start springing forth and bring forth fruit quickly. It's like, you know, when Jonah was running from God, and then he told Nineveh they were going to fall. When he told them they were going to fall, you know, he grew a plant overnight over Jonah because the sun was getting hot. He grew this plant over him overnight, and so God can grow things. We talked about this already. How God can grow things like overnight, and so And there's another plant thing that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember what it was, but it talked about how that how God grew something quickly. So I see, you know, the seeds of your prayers, the seeds of everything you've given, Sandra. I see God beginning to rain upon that like a deluge of rain. In Jesus' name, soaking that seed so that seed can bring forth the fruit from the womb. Fruit. Bring forth the fruit from the womb of that seed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the seed fall into the ground and die. But the way it dies usually is that when the water gets in the moisture in the soil, it starts to rot the outside of the seed. So it gets soft, and then the life on it, on the inside of it, comes forth, which means producing fruit. In the name of Jesus, I declare fruit, Sandra, right now in the name of Jesus. I declare the rain of God raining on your land, raining on your prayers, prayers for your children, prayers for your family, prayers for your ministry, prayers for your money. In the name of Jesus, let it be done right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. Let it be done right now. Nicole, $15.55. Thank you, Nicole, for that $15.55. In Jesus' name, we pray for God's rest and peace in your life, that he begins to refresh your land, refresh all the things you've been through, the grieving you've gone through with the loss of your husband, all the things you've gone through. I see God watering your soul, girl, watering your soul with tears of love, with tears of joy, with tears of compassion, with tears of God's mercies, with tears of God's rejoicing over you. Hallelujah, watering you with the tears of God. God weeping with joy. God weeping with laughter. Hallelujah. When I saw Jesus laughing, I don't know if he was crying or not, but he was laughing so hard, he looked like he was crying to me. And crying, you can laugh and cry at the same time. So in Jesus' name, hallelujah, God is softening the hearts of people that you're praying for. God is softening hard land that's having a hard time producing fruit tonight in the name of Jesus, because the land is being watered and the seed is springing forth right now. Financial miracles in your life, your womb, in the name of Jesus, that people's hearts and bodies be loosened in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open it up, God. Open up the river and let it flow. In the name of Jesus. Deborah and John. This is going to go on all that long. I can tell already. This is where this is going. And it's a God thing all the way. Deborah and John, $22. In the name of Jesus. She texted me that she said, you know, if you wanted to give. If people are having a hard time giving tonight, the website has been restored. It's been restored for a couple of weeks now. But sometimes people can't get on there because they don't know how. So if you have trouble getting on the site tonight, if you want to give, just let me know, and I'll send that to you if you want it. I'll just send you, if you'll text me at 214-505-8719 and text me, then I will get that to you. All right? So do that. So if you want to give tonight, if you want to be a part of this, so I would love for you to do that. So thank you, Jesus, for Deborah and John. I thank you for Deborah and John, God. I thank you for their marriage. I thank you for their blessings. I thank you for their family. I thank you for their children. I thank you for their whole family, God. In the name of Jesus, that you start solving problems God, that just seem impossible to solve in Jesus' name. That you just start solving problems, God, with situations that just seem to be impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just start solving problems that seem to be impossible in the name of Jesus. By watering. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to try to get the link for you. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. Let me go here. Angel of Joy said, there's something awesome by William Murphy that talks about the seeds in the ground. It's called It's Working. It came to mind when you talked about the seed in the ground. Okay. It's like a message or a song or something. I'm not sure what you're talking about there exactly. You can let me know about that. That would be awesome. All right. Okay. Here we go. All right. I'm trying to take care of people here as we go here. Sending links to people that want it. Thank you. Me and Veronica are good.
I did not mess it up because of you. Okay. No. Oh, take us to Texas. Go to the Texas Barzillion, huh? All right. Myself and that is about that. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. All right. All right, y'all give me a second here. There's so much going on. Yeah, and we're going to talk more about this public thing. There's a difference between public shame that goes on with people that get raised up and that are well-known people. We're not just talking about, I'm not saying God doesn't deal with other people too, but we're talking about people who are well-known, who are the public eye. Because it was Moses, it was all about being in before all the people. He was, like most people aren't before all the whole people, like Daystar Network, you know, TBN, those are for all the people. Jimmy Swagger before all the people. You know, these people had huge ministry. And when you shame God at that level, it's just really, like what David did, it's just very disgraceful. So if you make mistakes in your Christian life, we're not talking about that. I've made mistakes in my Christian life. I'd have to say that would happen with me, but we're not talking about that kind of thing. That's not what we're talking about. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying tonight when I say if you sin as a Christian, doesn't mean that because you sin as a Christian. We all sin as Christians. That's a whole different thing to publicly shame, to rob and steal and adultery and then have somebody killed, you know, and then, you know, commit adultery, you know, and just do different things that, you know, just because of the favor God's given you in a big way. And so we're gonna separate all that out in the future. So, if, you know, we're not talking about people who sin in their life. We all have done that. I've talked about mine publicly, you know, so, yeah, so. We're going to get a good understanding of that. But Deborah and John, I think in order for that 22 for John, we just bless John, bless his business, bless their family. I know they have their mother-in-law there at the house taking care of her and trying to get things going on with that and get that work for it fits, for it works. And I thank you, Jesus, for prospering them, giving them the favor with, you know, the money that they need to do that for them. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for opening that up for them. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Water their seed, God. Water their seed. Water the seed that they have in the ground. Let it spring forth in Jesus' name. Jeannie, $25. Thank you, Jeannie, for that $25. Jeannie from Texas, one of our hosts on the show. Thank you, Jesus, on PGN. Thank you, Lord, for blessing her, God. Thank you for the increase, the time of increase in her life tonight. In Jesus' name, I declare an increase with cattle, with the seed. They plant seed. You talk about seed planting. Jeannie, I hope she's not listening to this. Jeannie plants seed. I mean, she's into, you know, she's into breeding. She breeds animals. That's part of what they do. They'll go buy some from a sperm bank, from some bull, from really well, you know, really great bull. And they'll take the bull sperm, and they'll, you know, have it placed into the womb of a, you know, whatever they're trying to produce from. And so you have to understand, for some people, this is a business, planting seed. So Jeannie may really like this tonight, I'm not sure. But what am I doing here? Let's go back here and find this thing. Yeah, so William Murphy. Okay, thank you, Aza. But Jeannie, in fact, one night Jeannie was going to run late on the show, so she texted me. She says, Randy, we're taking some, y'all listen to this. Jeannie says, we're taking some frozen bull sperm to this, you know, place to breed a cow or something. And I'm going like, you know, when I read that text, I feel like going, cause I lived that life too. I was living that life too when we did that. I was raising the farm and we raised cattle and horses and rebred animals and that kind of thing. So I understood, you know, exactly what was going on. But most people who, cause city stickers, they'd be listening to that going, man, I'm not going to be around there. I'm going to be late for the show tonight because we're taking some frozen bull sperm to breed some cows or something. I go, like, I understood it completely. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I understand. But, you know, it's like, that's seed planting, right? You're planting seed. So God
increase and multiply you, that the seeds that you sow in that kind of way, Jeannie, with your bulls, with the bull sperm that you get, all things that God bless that and increase that and turn that around, God, and cause that to be really blessed, the high favor of God upon even that realm of seed for her horses and cattle and whatever she's breeding in the name of seed planting, literally, by God, in Jesus' name. That is so funny. I thank God for that. When I saw that, I thought, if I ever share this, she'll probably kill me. Not really, because he's used to it. It's life around ranchers and farmers, right? And that's what she lives in. Yeah, so it's life. Anyway, cool. God bless that. Increase that and multiply that in Jesus' name. All right, Paulette, $25. Pray for Kayla, your daughter, for what's going on tomorrow. $25. We thank you, Jesus, for favor. And we thank you for the main thing that you want to do with Kayla is you want to let her learn from her mistakes, that you forgive, you love, you bless, and you wash away. Teach her, God, teach Kayla the ways of God through the situation. Let the pressure that she's going through with getting ready to go through the things she's got to go through, let all the pressure of that teach her the ways of God. Holy Spirit, teach her your ways, oh God. Everything, all the seed that Paulette has planted in her daughter and the Word of God and her life, in Jesus' name, let those seeds spring forth in Kayla right now in the name of Jesus, in her mind, in her soul, in her spirit. Come forth, Kayla. Let the seed of God's Word that's been planted inside you, the living sperma of God, come forth and produce fruit in your life in the name of Jesus. So whatever you got to do that, God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name, for your favor in the name of the Lord. And for Paulette, that $25, we thank you, Lord, for that, Paulette. We thank you for that, Paulette. In Jesus' name, we thank you. May God turn on the lights. May God turn the lights on in you. May God turn the lights on in you toward how to pray, how to believe God. Like you have the lights on already, but how to turn the lights on. You know, like you can have a seven candelabra, and have only five of them burning. Then you burn the other two, and it increases the light. May God increase your light in Him, your revelation of how to pray, and how to minister the Holy Spirit. You know, and water the seed that you planted plenty of seed in her life. God, I thank you for teaching Paulette how to pray the prayers, the watering prayers of God, to bring things along in Paulette and Kayla's life and all of her children, all of her life, that God, that people will water them even outside of us doing it. That you will bring people that will water their lives, God, so that harvest can come forth in the name of Jesus. Let it be done, God, right now by the power of God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for LaShun tonight, $40. Thank you, Lord, for LaShun. We thank you, Lord, for shining down on her, God, for letting the warmth of your light I see God speeding things up, LaShun. I see, you know, the Bible talks about he will speed things up, or the times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord, but he also speeds things up. You know, it says if it wasn't for God making the time shorter for some people, they wouldn't make it, you know, for somewhat like the end time. So God's going to speed things up. In the name of Jesus. Speed things up, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what speeds things up, LaShun? Fertilizer. Yeah. Fertilizer speeds things up, right? We had a pecan tree out in the front yard, and so I went and bought some fruit tree fertilizer, and I put it in there, and I think I put too much, actually. I mean, that tree grew so fast, girl. It was amazing. The pecans on there went from being regular pecans to humongous pecans, and I mean they were huge, and it's because I fertilized it, right? I think I fertilized it too much because the bark couldn't keep up with the tree growth. The bark on the tree started kind of splitting a little bit, you know, and because it was growing so fast, So don't fertilize that much, okay? But fertilize. So God's going to show you how to fertilize. So we're talking tonight about how to water. We already know you got seeds planted. But sometimes we need to find out how to get our fruit to come forth, how to make things grow. You can even make things grow faster where they don't grow slow, where they pick up the speed of growth, literally by fertilizing. That's what fertilizing does. It not only picks up the growth speed, but it also makes the fruit more, you know, bigger and juicier and more, you know, productive. So I speak that over your life tonight, LaShawn, that God show you how to fertilize in Jesus' name and fertilize the things of God that's having you doing, the seeds that you've been sowing, that you've already sown in Jesus' name. And let me see. All right. That God, you show her how to fertilize. I've talked about fertilizing here on the show before. But we're going to show you personally how to fertilize and how to cause the growth of those things. Maybe sometimes things are growing slow because, you know, the ground's not quite perfect or whatever, and so it needs a little help. Maybe it just needs help, you know. You never know why exactly. But, God, I'm thanking you for showing the shun how to fertilize it and how to cause, like I did that pecan tree, cause that pecan tree to grow like crazy. It's like we went out there and we went, oh, no, what have I done? And, I mean, it literally grew fast and big and massive, and the fruit was amazing, literally. I mean, that's a fact. But there you go. All right. Noel, $50. Thank you, Noel, for the Billy Fund, the land ministry. Thank you, Noel, for that. You know, I'm just sensing this atmosphere. As soon as I said your name, you know, literally right now, the atmosphere I felt happened to me in the room I'm in right now, it's almost like it was going to rain inside of here, you know, and there's no clouds. And it's no rain. I'm not getting wet or anything, not yet. But when I said your name right now, I felt that refreshing again. You know, when it starts raining, that refreshing smell and that feeling you get, that same thing as I said your name just now. So, Lord, I thank you for the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out your favor, God, for speaking to her loudly. I hear God speaking to you loudly, Noel, loudly. Like when he spoke, you know, he speaks loudly to me in many different ways, but like, you know, when he spoke Joseph Biden, he woke me up with that, Joseph Biden. And I literally woke up with him. He shouted it at me. He made it loud. And God has spoken loudly to me in dreams and visions, not necessarily a loud voice, but he spoke things to me plainly, like, you know, really loud in the sense of, got this, make sure you get this, you know, and so understand this thing. And God really speaking to you loudly and plainly. But, you know, how to pray, how to stand in, and all that kind of stuff. Regina, $50 from California. Thank you, Regina. As you say, Lord, I thank you, Father, that tonight is about rain night, y'all. I'm telling you, this is the atmosphere here. Even with praying over Noel just now, that I felt the atmosphere just shift again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Water the seeds of her life, God. Increase her, multiply her, bless her, God. Cause her to people to go, who's your daddy? Because your daddy must be blessed because you're blessed. Your daddy's blessed, and you're gonna be telling people, I'm blessed because my daddy's blessed, right? Yeah. Well, how are you so blessed? Because my daddy's blessed. Well, who is your daddy? God. Well, I mean your daddy. No, well, you don't understand. I'm blessed because God is my father. Yeah, and God doing that father thing and just raining down his blessings on you. In the name of Jesus, God, hallelujah. You know, we all have different grounds in our life, with our families, with our, you know, some ground is harder than other grounds. Some of our children are harder than others. Some of our relationships are harder than others. And sometimes they just need a good rain. They just need a good rain. We planted seed. We've done everything. We just need a good rain to soften the ground, so that they can begin to grow into their repentance, into the relationship with you, to the relationship with God, to change, to grow, to spring forth. I declare the springing forth, the name springing forth, Regina, spring forth or springing forth. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Spring forth. If it's the name of something or just God's just saying spring forth, things are springing forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Nikki and Charles for that, God. Thank you for Nikki and Charles. Lord, we just bless them. We bless their life. We bless their family. We thank you, Lord, for watering all the seeds they've got. So they want me to pray for, they give me $25, $30, $30. That's $85. Thank you, Lord, for the $85. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Bless Sue and Joshua and Sheila. and find a good deal on a fifth wheel RV. All right, let me check something here. Let me check something out here real quick. Okay. All right. Oh. Manjula, I just saw your offering. Thank you. Thank you, Manjula. All right. Wow, awesome. All right, Manjula, thank you for that. All right. Okay, hang on a second. I'm checking things out down here. All right, awesome, man. It's raining tonight. I'm telling you all, it's raining tonight. These prophetic prayers are about raining. God, I thank you for raining on Nikki and Charles. Rain. Bring refreshing rains on them, God. Not floods, not destruction, not that much water. But we're not talking about that kind of water because you got the rainbow over your life, right? You got God's promises over your life. You got the rainbow, Charles and Nikki and Charles, over your life. You get the rainbow. No more destruction from floods. Now it's just about watering. Now it's about the increase. You know, just like you say, you can have a seed plant if you have water. You're not going to grow. You can have a tree that's there, but if it's not growing, you know, if it's not getting watered enough, it's not going to be producing fruit because it needs water. Just like our bodies need water. If our bodies don't get water, I mean water. They don't function. They don't work right. They don't grow right. Like they don't function properly, and things start breaking down and causing pain and headaches and kidney issues and all kinds of things. We think we're having all these about to die, and all it is we just need to drink water. Water is a big thing. Thank you, Jesus, for Nikki and Charles. We thank you, Lord, for Sue. God, we bless Sue tonight in Jesus' name. Let the fruit of her body produce forth life. Let there be great repentance in Sue's life, God, to bring her to a place of great love, of great fellowship with you, Jesus, to know you, to love her family in a way that she never has, to love her family in a brand new way. She's always loved her family. Let her love her family in a brand new way, God, in a way she's never loved before, the love of the Father. Hallelujah. Joshua, we pray for Joshua tonight. God, we thank you for Joshua. We break the spirit of any addiction, emotional, mental addiction. Sometimes we get emotionally, mentally addicted to things, stop us more than anything. Many times it's not, sweets or much less drugs or anything like that. It can just be an emotional, mental addiction. And so I thank you, Lord, for any mental and emotional addictions for Joshua, God, that may be broken, so that, God, you open his mind up to know that he doesn't have to have anything but Jesus. He has to have Jesus, you know, every day, every day. And the more he replaces those emotional, mental addictions, the emotional, mental addictions, that he replaces those so his mind will be fed with the Word of God. His mind will be nurtured with the love of Jesus. His mind and his emotions will be nurtured by the power of Christ's anointing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Blessing, God. And Sheila, God, we pray for Sheila tonight, God, that Sheila will find herself, you know, being used by God to do evangelism, to bring people. I see, like, there's an evangelist inside of her. I don't know if she's been awakened or not, but by Christ, but I speak over Sheila, God, that you are awakened, Sheila, for the revival, God, for the evangelism in Jesus' name, that you began to you began to wake up that evangelist inside of her, God, in the name of Jesus, and make her aware that her purpose is to help save souls and to help people, to help find people, and to bring them help that they need from God. Amen. We thank you for that fifth wheel RV, God. We thank you, Jesus, that they're stepping out by faith. They're believing you, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to increase and multiply their space, multiply their ability to have room in that fifth wheel RV in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open that up, God. And Jesus, water their seeds, God. Their seeds going to water their seeds tonight, God. Let the rains of God gently fall upon them, to just water their seed every day that they need it. And let the sunshine, in the name of Jesus, in the sunshine, let the sunshine, God, and bring forth nurture and blessing on Charles and Nikki, God, in Jesus' name, as they awaken, that God, there's an awakening going on with Nikki. God's awakening you to that those seeds that you planted are precious seeds. They're powerful seeds. We're going like, God, how come that hasn't happened? God says, I'm going to get a water. I'm going to teach you how to water and fertilize. Water and fertilize. Water and fertilize. Water and fertilize. It's a whole different kind of ministry. We think seed, seed, seed. And God says, yeah. Paul planted, Apollos watered. Why does God say that? Why does God bring that out in the gospel? Because he wants you to say, you know, you got one that plants, another one waters. They're both, their ministries are powerful. God says, which one of them is the greatest? If you plant a seed but don't water it, it's not going to grow. If you water something and there's no seed, there's nothing to grow. So they have to work together. And I thank you, Jesus, that Nikki and Charles will plant and water together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That Charles will plant it and Nikki will water it. And spring forth in Jesus' name that Christ, that God will give the increase. And I speak increase, God. Teach them how to do that ministry together. Plant and water. Plant and water. Plant and water like Paul and Apollos in the name of Jesus. Bring forth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. We thank you, Lord, for Andrika, God, for Andrika in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for Andrika's life. We thank you, Lord, for the power of love, God. God's doing a thing with love with you guys. And there's something going on with love, Andrika. I feel the love of God penetrating and flowing through. There's something going on. There's the refreshingness of a fresh love. You know, it's one thing to love somebody, and then we love them, love them, and they get, and it's love, but then it kind of just the same old thing, but it's always love that's really good. But then all of a sudden, God starts bringing a refreshing of love. Hallelujah. I ask you to refresh your love life with Tyreek. Let Tyreek begin to find himself being loved, Torrey. Water his life, God, with some fresh love. Water Chris' life in Jesus' name tonight with some fresh love. And then Andrika, God, pour out your fresh love. Everything they do by the love of God, the love of God, the love of God, the love of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The love. Love reveals what's important, and the important things are what we focus on, and that's what love does. Love causes us to focus on the right thing. Everything else gets us to focus on everything, but love. When love is the focuser, love is the thing that causes us to focus on the right things, to believe for the right things, to do the right thing and do it for the right reason. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for Andrika, for blessing her, God, with that finality love. The love, I don't even know what this is, Andrika, right? Finality love. Whatever that is, I don't know. Finality love. Like it's a certain kind of love, a certain way or something. I'm not sure. Finality. Finality. Finality means... So in Jesus' name, when I get to the $100, I go down by amounts. So I'm getting close. Hang on. God, man, he's like wrestling with an angel. Like, you know, I don't have a chance. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, gotcha, man. All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah, we go by amounts. I go down, I start at the top with a dollar and go down, work down to the, whatever it is, up the mountain. We're going up the mountain. Further as the mountain we go, you know, it's all the mountain of God, but we're going up the mountain. We go up by the mountain. So thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My God, I feel the power of love on you, Andrika. The power of love. You are a lover of God. You are a lover of God. There's something in you that God's going to restore the love in you. Something's about to open up in Jesus' name. And, in the name of Jesus. Open up, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Okay. Prayed over it. I thought I prayed over that already. Okay, maybe I didn't. Yes, Annette, thank you for that. Thanks for reminding us. I don't know how that got set up. Hang on a second. All right, Danette, thank you.
I don't know where that went. Give me a second here. Yes. Yeah, Danette, thank you. I think I did miss that, actually. Let's pray over that right now. All right, let's pray over you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that $4. Thank you, Danette. Thanks for letting me know about that. I think I'd missed it at the top. Yeah, you're right. You sure did. And I saw that. I don't know how I did it. I missed it. Here we go. All right, Danette, thank you for that $4. We just bless you tonight, Danette. Thank you, Jesus, tonight for her. God, open up her heart, God, and the sun shining. God, I see God expanding your heart, Danette, expanding your heart, because expanding your heart means the ability to receive. Some people get in the mode where they receive so much, and that's it. And sometimes it's not enough. So what God does is when you step out and you do something for God, you expand your territory. Because when you're stepping out, you're expanding, right? You're going from where you are to 50 foot forward. So you expand your territory. And I see God expanding your territory, opening you up to receive. And God's showing you how to receive. I used to have too much pride to receive. People try to help me and do things for me. Nah, I get it. I get it. Don't worry about it. And God says, Rand, I just sent a blessing to you, and you didn't even know it. Oh, that was you, God? Well, why didn't they look more holy or something? Just take what I give you. And I started seeing that you were, God was, opening me up to, to receive blessing. And so, I mean, I used to come up short all the time, Danette, because I didn't know how to open up my heart for blessing. I was always thought, work hard for yourself, be yourself. And people try to help you. When you get into the ministry, especially, we can receive help from anybody, no matter who we are. But when you get into the ministry, it's all about people, God using people to give and to increase your multiply. Well, I had a hard time with that for a long time. And I see God really opening you up and healing you and being able to receive the good things of God and receive the great things of God, and God increasing your ability to believe to receive more. Right? We can say we want to believe more, but until God increases our ability to believe for more, it just doesn't happen. It didn't happen with me for a long time. And so I finally realized that after God, he says, I'm working on making your receiver bigger, Randy. I'm going, wow, that's what my problem is? Yep, it was that simple. And so he started showing me how to expand myself, how to grow, how to expand. I expanded my giving. I expanded how I help people. I started expanding everything. And so when I expanded it, what I did is I made it bigger so I could receive more, so I could be a blessing to have my needs met and to help other people. So I thank you, Jesus, for the anointing of increase on the net. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Increase her, God. Water her soul. Water her in Jesus' name. Let it be done right now by the power of God. All right. Pray for Mike and Veronica, $100. Thank you, Mike and Veronica. In Jesus' name, thank you for your friendship with God. Thank you for that. And I will do that, what you recommended on there. Yeah, I will go out and eat. Thank you. I love to eat, I do. I like it a lot. The Lamb's Supper is going to be amazing. Jesus is going to say, man, you really do like to eat, Chandler. I'm going, yes, sir. I love the way you cook, too. The Lord's a good cook. And that's what I see. God's showing you, Mike, how to cook up a meal. Jesus was a good cook. He cooked the lamb. In other words, he's a provider. Cooking up things means cooking up revelation for people to eat, cooking up the ability to, to feed people, for people want to come to your place to receive what you have to give, because they find out that you serve good food. You serve healthy food. You serve good food. It tastes good. When Jesus cooks food, he doesn't just cook it bland. He cooks it, and it tastes awesome, man. He's an awesome cook. Jesus cooked fish for the disciples. Remember when he rose from the dead, he cooked fish? Yeah, and he ate fish in front of them. He's a good cook. So God's showing you how to cook. He's showing you how to cook things. So cooking things means it's not just cooking physical food, but it's how to cook up stuff, how to put things together and create a meal that – like Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. So my meat, right, my food, is to do the will of my Father.
the angel that cooked the meal for Elijah. And so there's something about cooking. There's something about food and cooking that God feeds us, and he feeds us with his will. And God's showing you how to cook up, you know, a good meal for the will of God so that the will of God will be edible, so that it can be understandable, so that people will want it. Because a lot of people don't want the will of God. We have to present the will of God to them in a way that they want it, that it tastes good. Because most people will serve it, they serve it with this bitter religion. They serve it with this bitter, you know, God's going to do, you know, it's bitter and it's full of a bunch of baloney. It's not good food. And Jesus serves good food. So God's showing you how to present the gospel, how to present miracles, how to present the kingdom of God, and create an atmosphere where people want to come into your place and partake of what you're serving. Right? Yeah, I used to drive by these barbecue places, and every time I would drive by one of those barbecue places, I would want to go in and I would drive by these barbecue places, right? And I would smell the smoke, that barbecue smoke, you know, blow right into my window. I'm going, man, I smell it driving by. And I went from not being hungry to being very hungry because of the smell of the smoke. And God's showing you how to cook up food with God to where it draws people in and makes them want the miracle, makes them want to get right with God, makes them want to receive from God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, for opening him up to the cookie realm, God, in the spirit realm, so people will come and eat the will of the Father in the name of Jesus. They will want to give to you. They want to come in and buy your stuff. They want to come and give to your ministry. They want to give and help you because you cook good food. You're like, man, when you represent God, when you cook up something with God, it's like we love the taste. We love the flavor. This is my favorite place. And you really cook up good food, you can make a lot of money. Restaurants that make a lot of money. There's a place right down the street from where we are. It's some kind of a store. It's a gas station, actually, like a 7-Eleven type thing. And they serve tacos in there. I mean, their tacos are awesome, and they never not have business. They go like 24 hours a day. They never not have somebody in there. Constantly. Why? Because they make really good food, and it draws you in. So God's showing you how to present the gospel in a way where people, God, they smell it, they get drawn to God. Drawn out of God, God draws us, because when you're cooking a good meal and food, you're creating an atmosphere of God with praise and worship. It creates a cloud of God's smoke, and they smell it. And they go, man, I got to have some of that. Thank you, Jesus, for that. In Jesus' name, for Veronica, God, thank you for Veronica for holding her up, God, holding Veronica up in Jesus' name, so that she can be a healer. I speak forth the healer inside of Veronica to come forth in the name of Jesus to heal. To heal the wounds of God's people, to heal the wounds, to give her the medication, to give her the wrapping, to give her the band-aids, whatever, not band-aids, but the wrappings to wrap up people's wounds and put oil and wine, you know, in the wounds, to heal their wounds, God, to heal the wounds of God's people in the name of Jesus. So we pray for a soldier tonight, not eating. Something we're getting tomorrow. We get back our bus on Monday, too. All right. Wow. Awesome. So, amen. Yeah, when you cook up good prayer with God, the prayer, the incense, prayer and incense is kind of the prayer of the saint. When you do that, what does it do? It God smells what's cooked up in prayer, the incense, and he goes, man, I got to have some of that. Why did God do that? Because when our prayers are prayed right, God is drawn into that. He's drawn into the cloud of our prayer. It smells good. It draws him in. So there's a whole big teaching on that, a lot of revelation. We pray for soldiers and not to eat the puppy. You're going to have coming tomorrow. Okay. Oh, he's not going to eat that puppy. He's just going to lick it to death. Yeah. You just take really good care of it. As long as you don't make him jealous. Be careful, don't make him jealous. All right? Yeah. Dogs, for the most part, are very family-oriented. They can get jealous, but they love the family thing. They love the family thing. All right. Thank you, Jesus, God, for touching a soldier tonight. And they're getting the bus back tomorrow, Monday. Oh, that's awesome. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for that. All right. Angela Joy, $80.88. She needs guidance. Yes, we're believing God for there are people that are moving into their place and into their position. And we thank you, God, for every person that's moving into their position. In Jesus' name, with you, Father. that they're moving into their position. God is positioning people all over the earth. So I thank you, Lord, for the position. It's not like we're seeking a position, like I want to be a this or that, a prophet, apostle, or whatever. But it's about our position with God. And I thank you, Lord, that her position with you is sealed. No one can have her position. It's no one can take it. It can't be taken from her, raw from her. You're not going to miss it. And God, I thank you for taking away any fears or anything that try to attack. Sometimes the enemy tries to attack me with fear, you know, like he does always. Tries to attack us with fear, trying to tell you, fear tries to tell you it's false evidence of appearing real. Fear, somebody came up with that really awesome thing. It wasn't me, but false evidence, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for all the things that fear tries to create, false evidence. God's gonna, you know, like when you take, in order to go to court to win a battle, you have to have real evidence, right? But if you have false evidence, then also when you go to court, you prove the false evidence is false. So I have this thing, I see this thing going on, Angela, for all the false evidence that fear is trying to produce, you know, this isn't going to happen because of that, this is not going to happen because of that. That's going to be broken off in Jesus' name, the false evidence. A lot of false evidence is going to be broken off, Angela, in Jesus' name, and it's going to bring forth the true evidence of what God's really doing. Sometimes the false evidence has to be exposed and revealed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Chris, $100. Thank you, Lord, for Chris, and thank you, Jesus, for blessing him, God, for increasing him, showing him the ways of, you know, the water thing, the whole thing about water. We're talking about water tonight. Water, 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 water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Thank you, Lord, for letting him tap into that Holy Spirit blessing of water, water in the natural, water in the spirit, to water his seeds that he sown. God had to water them in the spirit. And sometimes I just think we have to say, God, you know, I'm transitioning my giving, you know, in prayer or money or whatever it is, whatever you're giving your time to God, what to other people, you're giving your life away. You say, God, this I'm going to water my seed with this. I want to water my seed with my time that I spend with whatever you want me to do, God. I want this to be water. I'm going to water. Sometimes we didn't have to ask God to do that. And instead of being seed sowing, we plant plenty of seeds, but to get those seeds watered in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for showing Chris how to water and fertilize his spiritual life, his spiritual prayers, the spiritual things he's got going on in the natural realm, in the name of Jesus. Because I keep hearing the Lord say, he wants the land that you partake of, that you work on, that you live on, to produce like in the Garden of Eden. In other words, where it become released from the curse and be blessed and bring forth the oil that you need, you know, whatever, the water that you need, the fruit that you plant, crops, whatever it is, the cattle, the horses, whatever you grow on there, that they have the blessing, because the earth, you know, produces an atmosphere, and when the earth is happy, when the earth is being blessed by God's children, then what happens is it creates an atmosphere where animals get on there and they feel, you know, happy and joyful, and they grow, and they, you know, you have an atmosphere that's cursed, and that's why things die, and it's bad because the atmosphere is bad, because the earth is like, it's still under the curse there. It's not being blessed. It's not, doesn't have somebody on it praying over it, believing God, and that own it, that are holy people that live with God. But when you own land and you start praying over land, like I prayed over our land when I was born for my dad, I planted lots of seed and watered lots. I planted and watered. We had all kinds of irrigation, all kinds of things. Lake water, all kinds of water. Had a sprinkler, a big, huge sprinkler on our land, and it's awesome. So, you know, when I prayed over that, like I told you before, my father told me, my dad told me, he didn't know that I just prayed over it. He said, man, this land produced massive yield. He was shocked by the yield, you know, and it's because I've been praying over it, because I've blessed it. And that's what happens when you bless land, Chris, and I've got to show you how to bless it and fertilize it even in prayer. When you when we pray over things, it's fertilizer prayer. Right, we can water in prayer, we can plant in prayer, and we can fertilize in prayer. Oh, I never thought about that until right now. Dude, that's hot. Water with prayer, right? All planted, all water. You can plant with prayer in the spirit. You can water with prayer. You can also fertilize with prayer. Oh, my God. Now, I never thought about that before. That was brand new.
Never heard that. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa. I got to write that one down. That was good. That was a good one. Pardon me while I write down a revelation from heaven. Never heard that one before. Prayers, I'm going to write prayers that water, prayer that plant, prayer that fertilizes. That's new. Fertilizes. Wow. I really love Revelation. Y'all can tell. I'm like a little kid that candy store. Give me some of that. I get happy. Chris, that was coming right to you, man. Dude, and fertilizer not only makes it produce health. Like my dad, you know, we'd water things and the crops would be okay. Sometimes it'd be a little yellow. He'd throw some cow manure or whatever the fertilizer was. Sometimes liquid fertilizer, which I think wasn't good for it. But with liquid fertilizer, and all of a sudden, boom, man, he'd start growing, be healthy. Put the five pound on there, not too much, not yet, honey. And then, you know, I never thought about prayer being fertilizer. So God's going to show you how to fertilize it, because fertilizer things make things grow healthy to their fullest potential, where they produce fully and complete 100-fold. Because God called you 100-fold. Amen. He has. So, all right, there you go. That's it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Manjula, $111. Awesome. I love that offering. $111. Woo! Jesus. Quizá paquero barro agarre de guire barano. Un snequite, paguato, forpete, piaro, comao, sheco, mahale, fica, baja. I see God saying he's breaking the drought. The drought, what's the drought? The drought means, you know, he can't grow things, can't. You know, water dries up, people die, people starve, they can't get food. The production of everything just goes down because everything needs to be watered. That's why water, that's why this message tonight, that's why this ministry tonight is so amazing, because God says, this, in some areas of our life, you know, maybe over your family's life, but in your finances, that God says the drought is broken. Hallelujah, man, Julia. And this shekel by water. I just want to pray in tongues over you right now. Bosni. Brokiko, Borkiko, Bataromo, Pandreke, Stinka, Pokotawo. Keko Mahale. Man, something's breaking loose. I see the heavens breaking up. I see God, the clouds showing up. The clouds are clouds. Clouds in this sense are not bad clouds. These clouds are clouds with something to bring you some rain. Hallelujah. Some refreshing. In the name of Jesus, water everywhere, and lots to drink. Water everywhere, and lots to drink. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Let it be done, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let it be done right now by the power of God. Open up the heaven, pour out a blessing, open up the heaven. Nothing less than 100-fold. 100-fold for Manjula. For Manjula. 100-fold for Manjula. Chukamaka Lula. Halo Faro Mana. Halo Palo Mana. Man, when that goes on with me, when I'm doing it, that's like bringing in the cloud. God, like when Elijah Manjula was at the mountain and it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and him and his servant were up there, and he said, kept telling the servant, go check and see the clouds. You know, I mean, there'd been no clouds for a long time, 3.5 years, right? He got the servant. Servant went and looked. No, nothing yet, Elijah. Go look again. And after finally the seventh time, he said, I see a cloud the size of a hand, Elijah. He said, get ready. Here comes the rain. And Manjula, that's what I saw. Woo! Shipa fahare.
loose in you in Jesus' name. The cloud the size of a hand turns into a cloud that waters all the land of Manjula. Manjula land. Manjula land. I like the sound of that. Manjula land. Manjula. I don't know. I get up on certain really weird things. But anyway, hey, it's God, though. I guarantee you. It's God all the way. And my kashaka, my watcha. Shika ba maro maroka. Penki nakunano. Penki nekinano. Penki nekinano. Mokuti mikawa hababa. Tarehe. Oh, Moshe shikanaha. Something's breaking through. You feel that? I don't know if you feel that. Isha Mahari. All right, Cheryl from Florida, my friend Cheryl from Florida, $200. Thank you, Cheryl, for that. Cheryl, what I saw when I was praying over Manjula and you were the next one in line, I kept thinking, okay, because I started going into tongues, right? When I go to those tongues, man, it's like with me, that the ministry tongues are like special tongues because it's like amazing. And I kept seeing your name next, okay, and see Cheryl next. It's like I'm wondering if this tongue is moving off into Cheryl, and the next prayer person we're going to pray, that this prayer language, this prayer anointing moving into your spirit. I see God loosening and opening up the things we used to have to pray for hours or however long you prayed, that it's like the things that took an hour to get an answer from God or whatever, or get into his presence and get enough to drink to last you all day long, that it takes you an hour to do that, let's say. Now it's going to take you 5 seconds. It's going to be like, Soka Rapa Hora Vara Mere Kiri Chongo. Oh, my God. Woo, I can go all day on that. You know what I'm saying? That the increase in restoration of the Holy Ghost prayer and anointing in your prayer life, in your receiving life, in your drinking life, to drink with God and fellowship with God where you can drink the whole thing in 5 seconds. It don't take you 5 days or 5 hours or 5 minutes. Yeah, hallelujah. Basoko, choco, choco, noco, choco, macanana, hey, cavajo. And God restoring it, except for restoring it with a quickening. I keep hearing the word quickening. It's a quickening prayer. It's a prayer that's quick. It's a quick prayer. Why? Because it's efficient. And the prayer of a righteous woman availeth much. It's quickened. It's quick. It's quick and efficient. If you're sharp, if your sword is sharp, you got a sharp saw, you know, and you're you can go woo, cut down a bunch of trees. But when it's dull, it's like sound like a Chinese guy or Japanese, like an Indian. That's not what that is. But you know, but that's it's hard. It smokes up everything. It gets hot. But when you got a sharp sword, man, a sharp sickle, my God, when it's sharp, it just takes it out. Chica pocho noco chere baba paroja paracara me shigara monde shinguato yeshe bahuta mahale niko shukumane. Hallelujah. Cheryl, I felt that. Man, when I prayed for Manjula and I broke up into those tongues, I felt that when I prayed over, and it's like I kept thinking, okay, I think this is going to just keep rolling and move right into Cheryl. That's what I was thinking the whole time. Like, and then the Lord started showing me what he's doing with you. My God. I mean, what do we need to spend? I mean, I just like to spend hours in God's presence. Well, yeah, but when you drink in, that presence that you drink in stays with you all day long, right? So you don't have to spend all day long getting his presence. You drink in a little bit. And it's so potent, it's so powerful, that it's so, you know, it's so intoxicating that you take an hour to do to get intoxicated with God. You take one drink because it's like going from 10 proof to 100 proof. Like one little swig of that stuff. Woo! Jesus, hallelujah. We are, Oh, yeah, that can last all day. That little 5 second, like guzzle. Whoa! Y'all can tell when I get loaded. Yeah. Pocheku, maha, 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 maha. All right, Donald and Tanya from Florida. Thank you, Donald and Tanya. They're hosts of ours. They work and do ministry for PGN for the Lord. And Lord, I just think that God, Donald, I just see this whole thing that's going on tonight with you. Like God, like that one visitation you had from the Holy Spirit, what, about 2 years ago now? A year and a half, 2 years ago, remember that, in January? I think that's going to become, in different ways, I don't know if it's all going to be exactly the same way, but a refreshing and an opening up and just a stirring and a shocking, like, oh my God, did you see that? Wow. It's like you're like stuttering because you're like going, whoa. Amazing. So thank you, Jesus, for pouring your spirit into Donald and Tanya, loosening, opening. Here's what I see happening. It's like you have this 4-inch hole in your spirit, you know, 4-inch hole, hole, H-O-L-E, in your spirit where the water can flow through, right? You get a 4-inch, you know, pipe going through there. Like I see God making it into like a 20-inch or something, you know, making it big so that you can have a lot more go through and a lot faster and a lot more access where a whole lot more water, a whole lot more flow of the Spirit can flow through. And that's what God's been doing. He's been drilling down and drilling bigger, like making the hole from 4-inch to 20-inch or whatever you say, 10-inch, 10, 20, whatever, big. Bigger. So the bigger the hole is in your spirit, so that stuff, so you can get out twice as much, twice as fast. I say. So I'm gonna increase the time. I'm gonna make it easier and quicker. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. In other words, it's gonna happen faster. You take one little swing at something, and the job is done. Instead of like whacking at it all day long, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You don't have to carry 20 million pounds. You know, oh God, this is heavy. It's like you can carry 20 million pounds, but it's like your legs are stronger. You know, you're not a child anymore. You can stand up underneath the glory of God, hallelujah, and handle it and work in it and flow in it. In Jesus' name, activate that God with my brother in the name of Jesus. Activation in the name of Jesus. Activation, hallelujah. Holy Ghost activation, my brother. You're called to revival. You're called to outpouring, man. You're not called to this mealy mouth with a bunch of this. You're called to a Holy Ghost revival, brother. And I loosen you to that, my God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Mark and Deborah from Washington. $300. Thank you, Mark and Deborah, for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you for they sent me a little card. Really, God's been blessing them. Thank you for that. Thank you for letting me know how God is honoring your faith and blessing you. And thank you for your love for PGN, Deborah and Mark. Really appreciate that from Washington. In Jesus' name, that $300. God bless you. God bless you. God increase you and multiply you and give you sons and daughters that will rise up, that are going to rise up, raise up and say, they rise up and praise when they call their mother blessed. I hear some things going on with you, and your children are, I don't know if it's spiritual children or natural children, rising up and saying, my mama is blessed. Blessed be my mama. You know, they should say, blessed is she who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, because I see you coming into the name realm, the names of God, the different names of God, and God opening up the different names to you and naming you those names. Like making those names part of you, like Deborah El Shabazz or something, you know. Deborah, you know, like the names of God being added to your name. Isn't that crazy? I've never heard this in my life. Like the names of God being added to, like Abraham, you know, but in a sense of the names of God being added to your name, like flowing that, functioning that, the characteristics of God in that area. El Shaddai, Deborah El Shaddai, the breasty one. You know, the one who nurtures and loves and feeds, you know, and gives love and food and milk to nurture and feed, you know, with compassion and passion. And she's the names of God added to your name there, but I've never told anybody that before. I don't even understand that one. That was awesome, my God. That was awesome. You know, you got Deborah, you got Deb, like Deborah. like Abraham, you know, like Deborah, El Shaddai, like Deborah, you know, yeah. And then the names of God being added to your name. Hallelujah. And your daughters and your sons and daughters rising up, like I don't know, spiritual sons and daughters and what they are, but I see them rising up and calling you blessed, calling you blessed, calling you blessed. Blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Wow. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ah, I quote that. And over Mark, God, we pray over Mark tonight, God. We thank you, God, for Mark, for definition, for bringing definition to his life. A definition. The definition of who he is. The definition of who you are, God. It's kind of like the name thing with you, Deborah. It's like that brings definition to what God's doing in you. And God brings definition into you, to you defining what you are and who you are, taking your name like M-A-R-K and saying he's Mark, like Mark in the Bible. Mark was one of the disciples who wrote a lot about the miracles of Jesus. That's why in the book of Mark, excuse me, you see more Mark of talking about the miracles of God, the miracles of God. So you're going to talk about God. You're going to talk about different kinds of miracles, Mark, some of what Mark did, but you're going to talk about the different kinds of miracles. God's going to show you different kinds of miracles, and you're going to bring testimony about that. Like the whole book of Mark is about, really, overall, about the miracles of Jesus. He taught more about that than anybody. And so I see God connecting you to that and to the book of Mark, and God opening up to you, God, you know, and so the testimony, you share testimonies that God's miracles with money, right? Like Mark, you take the word Ilm and Ark, A-R-K, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, like you start taking your name apart, like I see God taking your name apart. But both of you guys, it's about names, right? Tonight, it's really unusual. Mark in the Bible, and Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, to do, when they took the Ark and they put their foot in the Jordan River, it opened up, right? Miracles. When they took the Ark of the Covenant with them, they won battles. So those were miracles. And thank you, Lord, for the broken bread, the five loaves and the two fish. Deborah knows what that means, and Mark knows what that means. The five loaves and two fish. There's something about the five loaf blessing. God is blessing and breaking the five loaves at $300 in Jesus' name. Five times in the name of Jesus, let it be done, God. Breaking those loaves open and multiplying and increasing them, God, supernaturally in Jesus' name. Well, you won't even understand. You don't. Where did that come from? Well, you don't even know why that's here. You know what? You know where that came from? Who gave that? Who brought that in? Where'd that come from? We don't know. It just showed up. You know, who talked to who about that? What happened? So we can register that. We don't know. It just happened. Yeah, miracle. In the name of Jesus, Mark and Deborah. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. I guess that's it tonight. We did it. We made it through. Praise God. All right. Thank you for being with us tonight. We're praying for everybody. Thank you for everything that's going on. What a powerful week we've had this week, right? I don't know if y'all are able to listen to all the shows or not, but you might go back and listen to Tuesday night. We talked about Lucifer and music and all that. I mean, that was amazing to me. So jump in there and be a part of that. Listen to those, and as God gives you the grace. Oh, just need to say 1 second. I've only got 3 seconds. Wow. Okay. Awesome. I can wait. I'm a waiter. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their bank account. Something like that, right? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their bank account. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying to you, man. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their bank account. Of course God renews everything else. Of course he does. Get that religious spirit broken off of. And this is not them talking to me. I'm just saying this right. So, and nobody else is saying anything. That religious spirit gives them people, oh, you shouldn't be saying God's going to, those wait upon the Lord shall renew their bank accounts. Oh, I can say whatever God wants me to say. You can't tie me up. You can't tell me what to say. I say what God says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People are trying to sneak in offerings at the last minute. Oh, my God. I love it. Thank you. All right, 133.33, huh? Think that's going to bring a special blessing or something, 133.33? I think it is. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah, I just got through saying, I mean, as you said, wait a minute. You said wait 1 second or wait 1 minute or something. And when I said that, you guys know how it works right here. I heard the Lord say, those that wait upon the Lord 1 second, right, shall renew their bank account. Of course, I knew you were going to be given. You know, you usually tell me to wait when you're going to get some money, and I really appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I heard. I heard the Lord saying that, like, those that wait, Jeff and Yuki, that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their bank account. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I say renew, I mean adding new stuff, adding new to your new, adding new to your new. I love that stuff, adding new to your new. Jeff and Uke. Yeah, adding new to your new. God's adding new to your new. That's what I'm hearing the Lord say, new to your new, like your bank account, new to your new. I don't know why I laugh some of it. It's just, all this stuff just sounds so cool to me. I just love it. Yeah, it's going to renew. It's like those that wait upon the Lord, it shall mount up with the wings of the eagles and all that. And I see, like, God giving you wings, like holy wings, like wings, holy wings. And I know I'm not talking about chicken wings. That's the first thing that came to mind was chicken wings. Yeah, that sounds good. No, I'm not talking about that. Holy wings, you know, like holy wings are wings that we have that we, you know, take us to holy places. Holy wings take us to holy places where we eat holy things. All right. Tell Jeff to call me and remember Jeff and you, they don't speak. I know, I said it. That's right. Yeah, Jeff, okay, this is from Mike. He says, tell Jeff to call me. And remember, Jeff and you did a sleep. Yeah. 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 That's really cool that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their bank account. Wait upon the Lord. In other words, we do what he says, obey him and wait on him and love him and, you know, wait for his blessing. And sometimes we try to rush things. How many of you ever tried to rush something? I've rushed stuff. I have rushed stuff. I end up paying for that then. I've always had to pay for everything I rushed God for, even though he wanted it done. But when I rushed it, so those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their bank accounts. They shall mount up with $100 bills. And Jesus, yeah. They shall give to the poor and needy. They shall help de-weed the weedy. In other words, take the weeds out, right? Yeah, they shall help thee weed the weedy all day long. I don't know, I'm making these stupid thoughts. You can tell I get loaded, man. I do. I get loaded. This is crazy. Thee weed the weeded. Woo! Thee weed the weeded. Thee weed the weeders. I don't know, maybe y'all live in Colorado, maybe the marijuana thing, I'm not sure. I used to love to smoke marijuana, but after a while, it made me like, I got blobbed out by it, so some people get off on it all the time. Anyway, I had a friend of mine, a worship leader friend of mine, who told me, he says, Randy, I got to tell you right now, if I go to Colorado, I'm going to sin. I go, what do you mean? He said, you know, marijuana became legal over there. I'm going, you not either. You better not. Anyway, so whatever. Smoking some weed. Oh, brother. The weed. The weeded. Blessed are those who don't do weed. They shall lose all their greed. Yeah, and succeed. When you lose your greed, you become a succeed. You will succeed. Yeah, because you got the weed out. You weed it. I think I have to go bye-bye because I'm like losing it, man. I am. I'm just like, oh my God. Something's happening tonight. Something broke loose tonight. When I felt that atmosphere break in my little room I'm in right now, and it felt like rain, you know what that feels like? Oh, my gosh. I just like, I didn't know. I was kind of surprised by it, right? I'm going, what does that mean? what is that? Is it even real? I'm like, I just turned off the air conditioner service. So it can't be that. What is this? Dude, the refreshing. God, some of you have been working so hard. I've been talking about Elijah last night. Elijah was just like going at it, man. The dude went on holy energy, and then all of a sudden he, you know, he came down. He came off of it. He got off the Holy Ghost feed. And when he got down off it, he was like wore out, exhausted. So God had to bring refreshing to him. He brought him bread and an angel. What was the angel for? To do warfare. He's letting him know, this warfare you're in, yeah, this angel is cooking you something. He ain't there just to cook up for you. He's just letting you know, I'm here to fight for you. When I fight, I win. Yeah, God. And I think, yeah, anyway, we'll go on about that some other night. But hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, bless them, God. Bless Jeff and you, God, in that name, in that arena, in the new arena that they're entering into. Jesus, this new arena. Kafina, Pochina, Mokina, Lina, Hina, Ma'ingana, Amahane, La Kori, Tori, Tori, Shikeri, Ba'alaha, Patoka, Pencheko, Eri, Bokuto. Bless them, God. Bless, bless, bless. Hallelujah. Increase and multiply. Take out everything that tries to stop the blessing of God. If the resistance that you have is there to give you something to resist, you know, iron sharpening iron, then that's good. But with Jesus, when they came and tried to trip him up, even though God used it for his glory, he always gave answers that shocked everybody. Instead of shaming him, it gave him fame. So anything where they try to shame you, Jeff, and you, that God will take the shame that they tried, like the Pharisees would come up, we got a question that you can't answer, Jesus, and they want to do it in front of all the people, right? Because they knew that if they could do that, they could shame him. But he sure enough ain't going to answer this thing, right? But when he would do it, his shame was the fame, right? So God's going to take the shame that people try to put on you, fame of God. It says Jesus became famous. Yeah, bless God. All right, Marge, $40. Thank you, Marge, for giving that. Thank you. I'm glad I waited. I almost went. Bye-bye. Thank you, Marja, not Major, but Marja. Thank you, Marja, for that $40. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you, Lord, for pouring your spirit out on Marja. In the name of Jesus, Marja is from New Zealand, I think, I'm getting tired, so my brain's going to go in there, but New Zealand or Australia, New Zealand, one or the other. Sorry, Marja, I'm messing this up. But in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Marja, God. I thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost currency you're giving her. Holy, God's going to show you how to use your faith literally like currency. And as long as you got currency, you can buy whatever you want. And God says, I'm showing you how to tap into the currencies of heaven with your faith, that your faith is currency. Your obedience is the activation of that currency. And your giving is the multiplication of your currency in Jesus' name to make it more valuable. Like currency, like the dollar goes down, you know, our U.S. dollar would be worth like 80 cents, right? And so to increase it to its full value, in other words, it's like saying to you that your dollar is worth a dollar more than a dollar, you know, an increase and multiply the value of your currency, your faith with God. And I thank you, Lord, for increasing the value of our faith, that when she asks for something, you give her all of it, not just 80% of it, like the dollar worth being worth 80 cents. You give her the full value of her currency. It's not like, you know, 30% or 40% or 50%. It's a 100-fold in Jesus' name that her currency of her faith be activated to its full measure of 100% of that dollar or that gold coin or whatever it is, where it's a good time to have that money because it's increased in value just by the fact that the numbers have gone up to 100%. You see what I'm saying, Marja? So I thank you, Jesus, for that. I think that's what's happening with you already. I can feel it with you. That's what's happening. You're increasing your value by your – I can tell you about you're being increased. I can just feel it. I can tell by looking at you in the spirit, by seeing you in the spirit and knowing that this $40 in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Bringing you into the – you're crossing over as Jesus said, crossing over. It takes a miracle to cross over. And I thank you, Lord, for the miracle realm that Jesus said, for full faith. God's calling your faith full faith. When you got full faith, you got full activation power. Amen. To get your full prayer. Not just half of it, not three quarters of it, but 100% in Jesus' name. Full activation. All right, y'all. I think that's it for tonight. Thank you, Jeff and you. Thank you, Marja, for getting that in there before I called it a night. I almost called it a little early. Thank you for everybody for your giving. It's been great. Thank you so much, everybody. It's glorious. All right, if I don't see anything else, I guess I'll call it a night. Okay. All right, let's see here. Okay, make sure I didn't miss anybody. I don't think I did. Go to the app. Get through the app. Oh, Shannon. I was Miss Shannon. Shannon, I almost forgot you, bro. $10. Thank you, Shannon. God, I thank you, Lord. The same thing with Shannon. All the seeds he's sown, God, I'm asking you to break the drought with this thing, with his family, with his future family. God, water, show him how to water people when he gets around people. When you water people, you create an atmosphere of building people up, and you're the waterer. You know, you water, encouraging, building up, or just being an atmosphere of fun and enjoyment where people just feel lifted up when they get around you. I thank you, Lord, for my brother. God, that you pour that spirit of restoration in him, of enjoyment, of life, of peace, of blessing. That all the seeds that he's sown, God, that you show him how to water them with prayer, water them with thanksgiving. But friends, some of the ways that you water things is through thanksgiving. And so, Lord, I thank you for my brother, that he enters into a whole other place of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, that he breaks off a lot of this stuff, because we enter into Thanksgiving, the devil doesn't like Thanksgiving at all. He doesn't like that dancing. He didn't like it when David danced. When David danced when the Ark of the Covenant came in, Shannon, the devil hated that. Even his own wife, I think, became barren after that because she mocked him. It stirs up a lot of stuff when the joy of the Lord fills your soul. In Jesus' name, my brother, let God fill your soul with joy and restore you, make you whole. May you water every seed that you planted. In Jesus' name, may you water others so they will want to be around you, because they know when they get around you, you're going to water them. You're going to make them go just by just being friendly, just by being, hey, what's up? Yeah, oh, cool, man. Let's go and laughing and having fun. When I go to the Planet Fitness, you know, once I started changing the way I do things, not being so serious all the time, so having fun, now I know every one of those guys down there. I mean, they love when I come in, they'll say, hey, there's Randy. You know, and I didn't used to be like that. Honest to God, I hate to say it. I used to be like, you know, like Mr. Serious. Hey, how are you? Thank you, Jesus. It's crazy. I started having fun, laughing with people, and they just open up. They want to know, what do you do now? They never asked me what I did before. Now they say, what do you do? I minister, you know. Yeah, call into the show sometime. Because, you know, and they just laugh. We laugh and have fun. And just God give you, there's a sense of humor from Christ that can just, you say things that you don't even know are funny, and they'll just start laughing and having a good time. And it opens up the door for favor and for people to be drawn to you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for blessing my brother, watering his life, God, and blessing him, God. In Jesus' name, make him really, really wantable. In Jesus' name, really, really wantable. Oh, that favor realm. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes favor is being able to create an environment, having fun with people, so they want to be around you more and more all the time. All right, y'all, I am going to call it a night. This has been amazing. It's been a great night. What a great, great night we've had. All right, so I'm going to call it a night so we can go fight the good fight. All right, Shannon, I almost missed you, bro, but I got you. I got you. All right, Marja, thank you for kicking in there at the end. Thank you so much. We love it. We appreciate it. All right, we'll get talking to you guys Monday. When was I with tomorrow? We'll be talking to you guys Monday. We have shows going on during the week. Make sure
listen to our brothers and sisters. We'll be texting them in a minute. They're there. LaShun on tomorrow night, and then Sunday, I think Paris and Tanisha are going to be there. And pretty soon, in December, Nicole's going to start teaching the book of Revelation. Yeah, go through the whole book. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for her to do that. It'll be really cool. So she's working on that, actually, and we're going to open up the door for that to happen. And, you know, that'll be happening on Sunday afternoon, I think around noon, somewhere around noon, Texas time, I think. I can't remember the exact time, but we'll get all that to you. It's going to be in December. It's going to start in December, around the 23rd, 24th. Somewhere in there, 25th, and we'll let you know. All right. God bless. Talk to you later.